There can be no other 97.3. No need to change. Keep it tuned to city. You're number one. Don't look no further. We've got it all covered. City FM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music, talk, inspiration, in perspective.
Express yourself. Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM, 97.3.
Called the Millennium Prayer, Sir Cliff Richard, 6:30. Inspired by some listeners who accosted me yesterday. Let's go back to the ancient parts. I used to play the song every morning on the City Breakfast Show. What a great song. What a fantastic, powerful model. It says, our Father who art in heaven, you start with his name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So a lot of people think prayers about them. It's actually about him. So the first three things you say are about him. His name, his kingdom, his will. Before you start asking for bread, let that be your posture. It's a prayer for the millennium. Committing the day. So much to talk about. A nation that needs healing. A nation that needs great leadership. That needs effective leadership. And also responsible citizenship, effective leadership. You notice it starts from the Father before it comes to us. So the leader first, He sees the way. He knows the way. He shows the way. He goes the way. That's a true leader. Lord, make us great leaders in our own spaces. Help us to be responsible citizens, to complement the efforts of leadership to build this great nation that you've given us. That's our mandate. That's our task. And whichever role we play, refuse collection, health worker, educationist, media practitioner, a jurist, we will contribute our quota by responsible citizenship, galvanized by effective true servant leadership. Oh, for leaders who care about the people, who think about their welfare, who place the interest of the next generation ahead of the next election, who place the interest of the future ahead of the present, who will learn to live by the mantra that sacrifice is the ultimate gift you can give to the next generation. It's a prayer. You can pray for your company too, that you will spawn new leaders who place the interest of the collective above the personal, parochial interest of the few. Thank you, Sir Cliff Richard, for giving us this great reminder of the posture and the power and the purpose of prayer. Oh yes, a wonderful kick to your great morning. Businesses brought to you by ADB. If you need a personal loan to resolve your financial problems, we're offering you a variety of loans, including top-ups at highly reduced interest rates with longer tenors of up to 6 years, and offer open to non-customers as well. Call ADB on 0302-210210. ADB, the People's Bank. ADB, truly a Greek and more.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
In times when the storms and the tides are raging high, we know we shall win, yeah. We know we survive, yeah. Shall wash away all the tears. Ooh, in this time of destruction, we must hold.
At 6:35.
We must win the fight.
Yeah, Bernardo, good morning. I greeted good evening when I set up at when I was in traffic around 7 p.m. and it's 2 o'clock and I'm still on the road, just about 10 minutes to the house. It's taking me 9 hours to drive from Accra to Millennium City. Assuming I was even going to Wasabekwai, I would have even arrived already. This is what happens on a rainy day like this because of some useless assembly that we have, and either some of our indigenes who are just recalcitrant in this sand-winding thing at Atala. For how long are we going to continue this nonsense? You guys have a bigger platform. I have seen this happen since 2008, and I'm just imagining when we will rise up as a country to ensure this nonsense will stop. It is pathetic. Imagine driving for 9 hours. I counted close to 13 broken vehicles on the road, 13 various models. I mean, for how long, Bernard? For how long? Anyway, let me just go and try and catch some sleep, because I will have to be up in some few hours to start the day again. Enjoy your sleep. Good morning. All the tears from my
eyes. This is barrier. If you are heading towards Kasoa, yeah, so I can't go home. I'm swimming in the I'm swimming in the water. Oh, lawyer. This one there, you have to come in tomorrow. Tears,
yeah. We know 6:37. Yeah, nation building is not easy. And not just the difficulty of those in Kasoa getting home. When it rains, just getting a vehicle to go home. Yesterday, 37 was a mess. You know, like, there's just not an effective transportation system. We've allowed the private people, GPRTU, to hog the space for whatever reason. We've not been able to engineer a public transport solution. 30 years as a fourth Republican democracy. Basically, organize cars to pick people at scheduled times. It's so difficult to do. I can't understand. So people will close from work and stand for hours in sometimes bus stops with no rain shelters just because they can't get a car to go home. Because, yeah, we don't want to break up GPRTU because it will affect the elections or whatever. Whatever other excuse, whatever new excuse is in town. We buy buses, sometimes we buy 300 buses. We leave the buses because we are more interested in procuring the bus to make a cut than to solving the problem. We have a nicely named bus rapid transit system with green Ayalolo buses. Ayalolo. We are going, but we know they reach. I mean, this is, for me, if we can't crack transportation, as we speak, countries like Tanzania and things are coming up with tram lines, some are doing trains, light rail. If for nothing at all, just get buses, color them, put them on schedule with time, we won't do it. We allow people to buy vans from Germany, retrofit it with angle bars, and put people inside that they are transporting them. No standards. You can't even have people wearing uniform to drive a vehicle because it doesn't matter. It's a private business. They say, well, police people to own trotro. The poor people will suffer. And the rich people will sit in their V8 and go. We think we are building a great society. I don't think so. So what happened in Kasoa and the SEC area yesterday is just an example of failure in leadership. How to solve a problem of transportation in a city that's growing out of control. So let's think about that as we get into a newspaper review brought to us by Total Energies. We're committed to delivering quality and innovative products and services to enhance customer experience. We're a multi-energy company. We dedicate all our many, many awards to our cherished and loyal customers. The NPR is also brought to you by Fidelity Bank in partnership with the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, helping you send money to loved ones abroad, including to Nigeria, Gambia, Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, without any stress, no more expensive fees, just fast, secure, and affordable payments. Let's get into the headlines. Richard Sky and Caleb Kuda. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Bernard.
Go into the newspapers.
Okay, so let me take you to the Daily Graphic for this morning. The big story says Atlantic Lithium lists on GSE, which is the Ghana Stock Exchange, first grain field company on Ghanaian Burs. Also on the front page this morning, we're told African Prosperity Dialogues 3rd edition launch here in Accra, and continent charged to invest in infrastructure. And then push for SMEs growth, president tells governments at 3i Africa.
The new finder this morning also has the Atlantic Lithium is joining the GSE in landmark listing of shares worth 649.6 million Ghana cedis. Strategic infrastructure investment vital for Africa's prosperity. Gabi Asare-Dako is speaking. Digital infrastructure key to Africa's prosperity. This is President Akufo-Addo. And seven potential private developers inspect Saglemi houses.
Let me take you to the Daily Guide. Rousing welcome for Baumia in home region. Also, we told Stevie Wonder granted Ghanaian citizenship. He's here with the President of the Republic. And Nana pushes for Africa's digitalization. Something here talking about Samuel Oku supporting Ikropon students. And EC registers 251,149 new voters in 6 days.
Daybreak newspaper, Africa Prosperity Dialogues 2025, Target Infrastructure Gap. And 2024 elections, Baumia begins house-to-house campaign. And we are ready to support you. Customs boss assures finance minister and commissioner general leads charge to transform GRA.
Let me take you to the Anchor newspaper. Woes of kidney patients deepen as parliament approves cost of dialysis treatment by 111 Ghana cedis. Also, NDC youth leader rubbishes accusation and reaffirms loyalty to his party. Very curious one here, similar to what Bernard went through some time ago, or if the allegation is true. Mm-hmm. Vigilance at fuel pumps. Allied fuel attendant caught selling air to customer. Marketing officer pleads, but unremorseful supervisor tells client, I hate nonsense. And some more. Poor salary for journalists is a threat to national security. That's coming in from CISA.
Okay, the Chronicle newspaper has Nana Oye suing ex-husband for $1.5 million, accuses Tony Letha of defaming her, alleged electoral violence, NDC exonerates Collins Dauda, seven construction firms inspect Saglemi project, new NIBMD is a qualified banker.
Let me take you to the graphic. Business banks, solvency under threat, high non-performing loans to blame. Dr. Richard Ituahene, a banking consultant we speak to often, is here on the front page. Also, ECD, finding balance between financial stability, regulation, consumer freedom, and privacy rights. And MTN Ghana continues growth trajectory and posts strong financial results in first quarter. But for some reason, this thing that you were talking about started somewhere after midday thereabout.
The traffic.
And people were in it until after 3 a.m. Sometime early in the morning. But somehow it didn't make the front pages or any of the
because the big news. You see, because by the time we realized it was that serious, most had gone to print. So you know, traffic starts 6, 7, 8, 9-ish. By 11 p.m., most of them had gone to print and wouldn't have known that it would have lasted to 3 a.m. Okay. You follow me? So if this was like, you are right though. If they had monitoring, if they had monitored this a bit more closely, if you are going to print around 11, you would know that the traffic was still there.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been good to take some photos and put them. But exactly. That's why we have websites. So a lot of them have the stories. So.
Yeah. Economy Times, banks fleece customers, peg APR above 40%. Cocoa prices fall by 2.5% to sell at $8,482 a ton in New York. And Ghana records about $4 billion US in non-traditional exports in 2023.
More stories on the front pages.
You have some other
Daily Post newspaper. We should not import Western notions of womanhood to define us as Ghanaians. Professor Nana Jane Opokwajuman tells Ghanaian women, nursing trainees at Bono East, humiliate and shame Baumia over Lawa. Okay. Ablakwa shares more documents of so-sought contracts awarded to Baumia brothers. And then Ghanaian Times quickly, EC captures 251,149 in 6 days. Average of 45,000 per day. Dr. Asari speaking. Ghana earns $3.9 million from NTE's non-traditional exports in 2023. President Akufo-Addo confers Ghanaian citizenship on Steve Wonder and redevelopment of Cofrom market saga. Fidelity Bank sets record straight.
Online, I didn't say we should pay churches. My comment was a joke.
Okay.
This is Baumia.
Okay.
Also, his claim that ECG staff sabotage paperless system is inaccurate and misleading according to Poo. June 4, the GGA president is telling AG to disclose state of investigations report on Ahmed Swale's murder. And then parliamentary candidacy won't interfere with bank duties, according to the new NIBMD. In other stories, let's embrace technology to harness fintech digital innovation. This is Akufo-Addo. And then all of this is from the 3i summit that's happening this week in Ghana. Meanwhile, a few more stories. We go to myjoyonline.com, the lead story there. Media Foundation to petition RTI Commission over Presidency's refusal to grant request on the SML deal. also locked up investment holders forum to protest at Finance Ministry tomorrow, 15th May. And then ECG staff denied Bamiyan's allegation that they sabotage paperless system. And then dollarize Ghana's economy to curb cedi depreciation. This John Kwachi's comment is still making the news on some websites. Star FM is talking about appointment of MPP PC as new MD for NIB. It's unfortunate. This is according to Bafor Ajimandria. Also, JB's killer trial. I went to Abubulosi to patronize prostitutes on February 8th, according to the main suspect. And then NDC condemns police over hasty statement on so-called Collins Dauda arrest. Class FM lead story. Ghana safe haven for extremists. Ambassador to Burkina Faso says terrorists mingle with us. And then 3i Africa Summit opens in Accra. Addison calls for increased investment in African economies. Ghana News Agency. EC registered 251,000 new voters in 6 days. In other headlines on the GNA website, don't take the country's peace for granted. Otunfo is urging Ghanaians. And then lack of investment in African fintechs can slow pace of innovation, according to the DBOG. So, Sky, let's get into the details.
Okay, Bernard, let me take off with this troubling story from the our ambassador to Burkina Faso. There's an angle here in the Anchor newspaper that says terrorists visit Ghana, use our hospitals, says Ghana's ambassador to Burkina Faso. The Anchor newspaper says terrorists from Burkina Faso and other parts of the Sahel are able to visit Ghana, use Ghanaian hospitals, and go back to where they came from, according to Ghana's ambassador to Burkina Faso, Boniface Gambila Adagbila. Now, speaking on the sidelines of an event in the Upper East region, he painted a grim picture of the threats the country and other West African coastal states face from terrorism spilling down from the neighboring regions, including Burkina Faso and other parts of the Sahel. There's a long quote here that says the serious threat is between Burkina and Niger and Mali, and then to the east, and then to the west. That is where the terrorist movement occurs most. Believe it or not, they are able to come into Ghana and go back. Yes, they move in and go back, and they roam. They come to our hospitals and go back. But governments are working at that. It's not something we need to dilate so much on. And he says that they also know when they are attacked. No, I think there are some issues with
you're right. The story is also on one of the websites I read. He was speaking and cautioning us not to take for granted that situation. The fact that a lot of terrorists are in Ghana. And this is the ambassador to the country. So if he's telling you this, you need to take it more seriously.
In the meantime, the Asantehene is urging Ghanaians not to take the country's peace for granted. The Asantehene Otunfo Osei to the second has asked Ghanaians to desist from acts that could jeopardize the peace of the nation. He said as the country prepared for another general election, it was important for Ghanaians to remind themselves of the need to act appropriately and not to take things for granted. Otunfo Osei to made the call at Edeba to climax the 25th anniversary of his installation as the 16th occupant of the Golden Stool at Jabirim in the Mensah Palace in Kumasi.
Let me give you this story that I started with. Rain-induced gridlock extends into Tuesday dawn on Malam Wager Road. Story by Letitia Osei, citynewsroom.com. The massive gridlock on the Malam Wager Road persisted till Tuesday dawn. The gridlock began after a downpour on Monday, May 13. The vehicular traffic continued into the early hours of Tuesday. Residents had to navigate through the waters to reach their homes, including those who were working night shifts. Some persons who spoke to City News said they spent several hours on the road before getting home on Tuesday. Some individuals were seen walking to their houses, struggling to find vehicles for transportation. Heavy-duty trucks bound for the central and western regions were packed with drivers asleep, hoping for smoother traffic conditions on the road to their destinations the next morning. Vehicles traveling from Kasua to Kanishi, La Paz and Dansuman also faced similar conditions. Now, the story then says, last week there was a heavy downpour which wreaked havoc in homes amidst choke gutters. Now, what the story did not tell you was that a lot of the traffic was caused by the silt that has been washed from the hills on the right side of the road. If you are coming towards Accra, which really takes over the road
entirely
from that whole area to the toll booth side. It didn't tell you that. And so it's been serious.
We need to deal with it this morning.
Yeah.
Bernard, let me take you back to the anchor. Woes of kidney patients deepen as Parliament approves cost of dialysis treatment by 111 Ghana cedis. I don't know why they say by 111 Ghana cedis. Now, the story says the woes of persons suffering from kidney failure appear not to be over following reports of upward adjustment of the cost of treatment by 111 Ghana cedis. Yes, so this is proper construction at various government health facilities. Now, the latest increment, the Angkor Garden, took effect from last week Friday at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, to the shock of many patients who are struggling to afford the prevailing cost of treatment. Now, this development came as a big surprise to many, particularly due to the promise made by some parliamentarians to the patients sometime last year that Parliament would take a closer look at the proposed increment in the interest of those receiving the treatment. We're told that people are really struggling with kidney issues. Some of the doctors will tell you that a lot of our young men are taking all kinds of concoctions to impress ladies. These are very difficult issues, we understand, but please keep
affecting their kidneys.
Yeah, that's right, affecting your kidney, and it's not the best. And those who are on
Parliament has approved the new charge, so when will it take effect?
Well, at Kolebu, we are told it took effect last Friday.
All right, let's come to the Economy Times.
Bernard, Economy Times says that government has paid all individuals who opted out of DDEP. This is the Deputy Governor of the Bank of Ghana speaking. Yes, really? The first Deputy Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Max Olopukwa-Fari, has announced that government has paid all individuals who opted out of the domestic debt exchange program last year. He added that all institutions which participated have started receiving their payments both in cash and kind. He made a statement on behalf of the governor of the Bank of Ghana at the launch of the commercial paper market by the Ghana Stock Exchange. He assured that the central bank is committed to ensuring that all payments are done timely to attract more investors. Quote, so far, the market has been calm, backed by some recent debt servicing by the government. On various due dates, the government has paid all cash coupons and payments in kind coupons on the domestic debt exchange bonds. The government has also paid all individuals who opted out of the domestic debt exchange exercise.
This is being captured correctly, because the Locked Up Investment Forum holders or investment holders forum, no, they say they will protest. Indeed, Edwin Anenchi was on City News this morning. The story says the Locked Up Investment Holders Forum has announced plans to stage a protest at the Ministry of Finance tomorrow, Wednesday, May 15, to pressurize the Ministry of Finance to allocate funds for the Bank of Ghana to revoke the licenses of insolvent finance houses and savings and loans companies and pay depositors their funds. So in a May 13 statement on the forum recounted previous efforts to retrieve their locked-up funds, which have been fruitless. So unless this is in relation to struggling financial companies, not debt exchange.
There's now, a quick...
Let me just read what they said. Sure, on March 28, we sent a petition to the Minister of Finance appealing to the Minister to provide funds for the payment of depositors' funds with the insolvent finance houses. So this is different. And savings and loans companies to enable the BOG to revoke their license and pay depositors. So these people have invested in companies that have become insolvent, and apparently they need some money from the finance ministry to be released to the BOG to then allow these companies to be sort of written off. So Dr. Edwin Anienchi expressed disappointment at the lack of government action and emphasized the urgency of their demand. So probably they are separate from what you're reading.
Okay.
Anyhow, in other stories this morning, Sky.
Yeah, this story, let me bring this story to your attention briefly. So the story about this Allied Fuels attendant cost selling air to customer, that story is on page 3. Basically says that a gentleman went
of
to the
Angkor Steel,
the Angkor newspaper, went to the Abilimpi branch of the station to buy fuel. And when he left, he realized that his the gauge light had
tell me about it
was back on after he had paid for fuel. And it goes on to detail what exactly happened. I believe that the station has to issue a statement on the story. But I just want to basically tell you about the Daily Graphic front page story, which says Atlantic Lithium lists on GSE. I thought we are still investigating how they came to get a contract and the details of the contract. Now, the story says that Atlantic Lithium, the entity overseeing a Woya lithium project in the central region, became the first international green minerals company to list its shares on the Ghana Stock Exchange. Now, it goes on to give you details by saying, coming 7 months after its subsidiary, Barari DV Ghana Limited, was granted the country's first lithium mining lease, Atlantic Lithium is initially offering shares valued at about 650 million Ghana cedis on the Ghanaian capital market with an indicative price of 4.40 Ghana cedis.
Let's do some Baumia reactions. Baumia's claim ECG staff sabotage the palace system is inaccurate and misleading, according to the public Utility Workers Union, the PUU of the TUC. They've disputed the vice president's assertion that officials of ECG sabotage government's digitalization of revenue collection. Now, Dr. Bamia, the AGM of anti-corruption agencies in Africa, on May 9 claimed that certain IT unit staff at ECG introduced some ransomware to disrupt the system's proper functioning. He said the ransomware caused the system to fail and that national security intervention was required to identify the staff responsible for the sabotage. However, the PUU issued a statement on Monday, May 13, refuting the vice president's claims as inaccurate and misleading. The union further expressed appointment by the vice president's assertion that the incident was a deliberate act by the ECG staff to thwart a project beneficial to the company and to Ghana. So Mr. Nyantechi Edumate's response is there. The vice president is also saying that his claim that he would
pay you already churches. They are calling you a joker. Why would you go and say that?
Well, so the flabber of the MPP has clarified, or let me say sought to clarify that he was joking when he stated that his administration plans to incentivize churches to undertake more developmental projects rather than imposing taxes on them. Now, in a meeting with the clergy in the Northeast region as part of his nationwide tour, the vice president explained that his statement may have been taken out of context.
Okay.
He explained that his statement was made within the context that the church and other faith-based organizations had done so much for the country, including the building of schools, hospitals, and other essential.
So it was a light-hearted statement.
So he was basically saying that...
But the joke...
No, I think... let's be fair. He was saying that I don't think we should tax churches.
Yeah, but we should be...
Rather, we should pay them, if for anything.
For the things they do for us.
So I'm not even sure it's a joke per joke. It's more like a side statement. But the main point is that we shouldn't tax churches.
Yeah, but he's saying now that it's a joke. And I'm saying that, the opposition is...
He could have simply said he was taken out of context. Yeah. No, he was joking.
I think, you see, this is the thing. If you're speaking... Yeah. It's a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
The way he talks, he said... If he said the churches have done all these things,
imagine
how can we be taxing them? So if anything at all, we should pay them. Do you get it? I'm not even sure it's right to him to say it's a joke.
I think it was maybe a faux pas.
We should just be careful how we talk. Yeah. In the meantime, there are two stories on banks. Quickly, if you go to the Economy Times.
Banks fleece customers pegged APR above 40%. Statutory regulator of the banking industry, the Bank of Ghana, has disclosed that the annualized percentage rate APR, which reflects the true cost of a loan that individuals, households, small and medium enterprises, corporate institutions, among others, are confronted with when they go through an approval process to secure a loan facility. APR comprises the Ghana reference rate, bank-specific risk premium, and other bank-specific charges. According to the data, 9 banks that offer loans to households have their APR above 40% for 1 year tenure. Stanbic Bank offers the highest rate in this category at 47.478%. This is followed by Universal Bank and First National Bank. United Bank comes next, and stuff like that. The other thing, though, is that cocoa prices fell by 2.5% to sell at $8,482 a ton in New York.
I'm briefly to tell you that banks' insolvency under threat, according to some report in the graphic business for today, we're told high non-performing loans are to blame. If you're interested, grab a copy of the news.
That was the newspaper review segment. Coming up next is the City Business News. Stay with us.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
City Business News with Nila Tilati. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernard. Hello and welcome to the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyal and Access Bank. Coming up, brace yourself for a likely increment in prices of goods as CD depreciation and rising port charges cripple the ability of traders to restock and make loan repayments. Also, rating agency Fitch warns extended dollarization in emerging markets could spell economic doom for the sovereign credits of markets, including Ghana. My name is Ni Lati Lati. Thank you for joining us this morning. First, though, traders are struggling to restock and repay bank loans due to the free fall of the CD. This is coupled with high port charges, Consumers are therefore to brace themselves for potential price hikes in goods and other foodstuff as the increasing cost of production and liquidity constraints are putting pressure on traders and hampering their ability to compete. The traders also say customs duties, which are pegged in dollars, are severely impacting trade and commerce as inflationary pressures have led to a surge in the prices of goods and services. Dr. Joseph Obin is president of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, and he's been demanding urgent government intervention. He spoke to City Business News.
This affects our turnover to the extent that we are unable even to service our debts at the bank. And that's why we are calling, because this is reminiscent to the last quarter of 2022, where the cedi depreciated against the dollar to about 15.5 to the dollar. And it's getting there. We can only draw the attention of government to our plight, and then we avail ourselves with our other stakeholders to collaborate with government to find solutions. I think this time, this is what we have to do. And all stakeholders have to be on board to help government find a very sustainable solution to this problem.
Dr. Joseph Obin is president of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA. Meanwhile, talking of the fall of the cedi and the proposal for the adoption of dollar as Ghana's currency to stabilize the economy, rating agency Fitch is warning that the extended period of US dollar dominance in emerging markets, including Ghana's, could pose significant risk to the sovereign credit profiles of such countries. We'll be bringing you more from that report, but a good time to talk about the performance of the cedi, because on the interbank foreign exchange market, where banks trade amongst themselves, the dollar gained 5 pesos, selling at 13 cedi 73 pesos. The British pound is selling at 17 cedi 25 pesos. It gained 14 pesos. The euro is selling at 14 cedi 73 pesos after gaining 9 pesos. However, at some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling at 14 cedis 90 pesos, while the British pound could be sold to you at 17 cedis 90 pesos. That of the euro is going for 15 cedis 50 pesos. Now, the Ghana Stock Exchange is showing signs of expansion as its financial stocks index experienced a modest upswing, driven by the encouraging performance of some financial stocks. The stock exchange returned about 5% for the first quarter of 2024 compared to the 12% it lost during the same period last year. Here's more in this report, which highlights a breakdown of the performance of the stocks.
Compared to the benchmark market-wide composite index, which achieved 10.41% in 2024, compared to the 12.3% last year same time, the financial stock index performed better this year. For the top 5 companies out of the 13 GSE-listed financial companies involved in the trading, Cowbank led the way, recording the highest volume of shares with 799,300 shares changing hands, followed by Ecobank Transnational with 313,794 shares, Republic Bank Ghana with 82,109 shares, Societe Generale with 31,450 shares, and Axis Bank with 12,041 shares. In terms of share prices, Cowbank witnessed a 12.5% decrease in its share price, closing at 42 pesos per share. Following closely were Ecobank Transnational, which maintained its share price at 15 pesos. Republic Bank Ghana also maintained its share price at 48 pesos. Societe Generale saw a 47.7% decrease in its share price, closing at 82 pesos, and Access Bank saw an impressive 30% rise in share price, closing at 4 cedis 45 pesos per share. According to head of research at Data Bank Alex Boahing, the development is not surprising owing to a number of factors, including the fast recovery in the profitability of most of the banks.
We've seen some encouraging performance so far in the first quarter of 2024. If you compare that to 2023, for example, in the first quarter of 2024, the financial stock index actually returned about 5%, which is better than what we saw last year, same period, where the stock market lost about 12% in the first quarter. This is as a result of the recovery in their profitability. In actual fact, the financial sector profitability has recovered or is recovering faster than we had initially expected. We've seen the banks, posting some good numbers in the Q1 results. that have been coming through so far. And interestingly, the higher treasury bill rate has been a major, I would say, tailwind for banking sector profitability or for the financial sector profitability. And that is the reason why we are seeing the financial stocks also doing quite well.
That was the head of research at Databank, Alex Boahin, ending that report by Netele Nete Ajahu. Meanwhile, the Atlantic Lithium has listed on the Ghana Stock Exchange. The company, which oversees the Oya Lithium project in the central region, marked its official entry onto the stock exchange on Monday by offering shares valued at more than 600 million cedis. The company's prospects set the indicative price for the Ghana Stock Exchange listing at 4 cedis 40 per shares, reflecting the valuation from the primary listing market. Lands and Natural Resources Minister Samuel Chinapo, who spoke at the listing, emphasized that the presence of Atlantic Lithium on the stock exchange aligns with the government's strategic vision of indigenizing the mining sector and enhancing value addition. Let's go back to our top story, which has to do with Fitch warning that the proposal for dollarization in emerging market to stabilize the economy could spell doom for the sovereign credit profiles of such countries. Here's more in the following news desk report.
According to the analysis, Fitch maintains that sovereign most vulnerable will be those experiencing significant and lasting depreciation against the dollar, coupled with dwindling foreign reserve buffers and a hefty portion of debt denominated in foreign currencies. This analysis comes at a time when the local currency is reeling under the dollar, with some analysts calling for the dollarization of the economy as a short-term measure to stem the depreciation of the cedi, even though the relationship between emerging market currencies and the US dollar has been robust in several instances in the past. Fitch Ratings anticipates this correlation will persist if the US dollar maintains its strong position throughout 2024 to 2025. Fitch notes that the overall rating outlook for its emerging markets sovereign portfolio remains positive, albeit with regional variation.
That was a news desk report. Now, the government is fast-tracking the disbursement of nearly $1 billion by development partners to bolster the growth of the economy. This is among the raft of measures being rolled out by the government before the end of the year to strengthen the country's macroeconomic progress. Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam cites the relative stability of the cedi, decreased inflation and declining interest rate as positive indicators of economic recovery that must be sustained through robust fiscal policies. Speaking at the opening of the 3i Africa Summit, Dr. Amin Adam said the acceleration will also create a favorable environment for the financial sector to grow.
The government of President Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo is unrelenting in creating an enabling macroeconomic environment that will provide the platform for the success of the financial services sector. For this reason, Ghana's economic rebound has been quite swift, with economic growth ending the year 2023 at 2.9% against a target of 1.5%. Inflation heading towards the year-end target of 15%, and which we are determined to work to reach a single-digit inflation by 2027.
Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam is finance minister. Meanwhile, Ghana has secured $200 million from the ECOWAS Bank for Investment and Development to support SMEs. The funding is to bridge the financial access gap that hampers business growth and innovation. And that's it for the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyle and Access Bank. My name is Neil Atilati. Do have a good business day.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
It's another one. 30 minutes past the hour of 7, you heard the City Business News brought to you by Goyle. Good Energy has hit the road with exciting choices to energize your vehicle. It's giving you more options to take you further. Watch this space for your choice. Goyle, yeah, yeah, dear. And if you're looking for a smarter and more convenient way to stay connected, it's time to live seamlessly with MTN's eSIM now. No need to carry multiple SIMs and phones around because you can have multiple numbers linked to just one smartphone. Dial star
Baghdad *#06# to check your phone's eligibility. Download the My MTN app or visit the MTN website to request your eSIM. Go seamless with MTN eSIM for convenience and seamless connectivity. And of course, Access Bank also proud to be associated with the City Business News. Benefit from instant payment from Nigeria, Liberia, Gambia, Guinea, Sierra Leone with zero foreign exchange hassle. When you send money in CDs, it will be received in any other currency by the recipient. For more information, visit our website, ghana.accessbankplc.com, or call toll free 0800 004400. Access Bank, more than banking. Kickoff is next. Benjamin Ketia is already here. Brought to you by Lesheho. If you're ready to power up your finances and unlock your path to prosperity, then the Lesheho Fixed Deposit Solution is your best option. You're not just investing, you're making your money work harder for you so you can watch your wealth grow. Call 027-004-0799 or send WhatsApp on 027-004-0733. Lesheho, let's improve life. We're also supported by Zonda Ghana Limited, your one-stop shop for quality trucks like Shantui bulldozers, excavators, graders, payloaders, and more. We create opportunity for people. We also provide top-notch after-sale service for all your heavy-duty and light-duty trucks. We are off the Tema Aplau Road, close to the Free Zones Enclave. Call 02-0501-772222. And of course, Shell Helix Ultra Zero W20SP, specially formulated with the unique Shell Pure Plus technology, designed to be safe for your environment with a significant reduction in carbon emissions, leaves your pistons cleaner than a whistle, up to 50% more than the industry standard. Get Shell Helix Ultra Zero W20SP to keep your engine purring. So Benjamin Ketia is here with the sports. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Bernard. Let's get into the headlines. And the 2024 WAFU Zombie Under 17 Championship is expected to begin at the University of Ghana Stadium. I'll give you more info on that. Manchester City face off with Tottenham Hotspur at the Tottenham Stadium. We hear from the managers. Let's get into the details. And the 2024 WAFU Zone B Under 17 tournament is set to start at the University of Ghana Stadium in Accra from the 15th of May to the 29th of May 2024. Now, the national Under 17 team are in Group A alongside Cote d'Ivoire and Benin. Meanwhile, Group B will feature Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Togo. Now, this tournament serves as the gateway to qualify for the 2024 Under 17 African Cup of Nations. Ghana's Black Starlets will kickstart their competition with a game against Cote d'Ivoire at 4 p.m. at the University of Ghana Stadium. That's tomorrow. Let's get to some other news. And Nigeria's Minister of Sports Development, John Ino, has officially unveiled Finidi George as the new substantive head coach of the Nigerian men national team, the Super Eagles. Now, the former Real Betis winger was appointed permanently after the departure of Portuguese gaffer Jose Peseiro. Now, he served as an assistant to Peseiro at the last AFCON in Cote d'Ivoire, where the team finished in second place. Now, George's appointment was announced a few weeks ago after he took charge of the team on an interim basis for the double header international friendly against Ghana and Mali. Now, his first assignment as substantive head coach will be the 2026 World Cup qualifier against Bafana Bafana of South Africa in June. So, Finidi George is officially head coach of Nigeria Super Eagles. Let's do some club news now, and let's come back to the Ghana Premier League. And communications team member of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, Nana Kwame Dankwa, has indicated that the club have good structures which enable them solve their problems anytime they arise. Now, the club met with Otumfuo Osei-Tutu II in April, who initiated conversations with the players and technical team to identify the causes responsible for their winless streak of 7 games in the Ghana Premier League that left them ranked 11th after March Day 26. Now, Kotoko's season began to improve after meeting with the Asante ruler, and Nana Kwame Dankwa asked that they know how to manage difficulties better than some other traditional clubs.
You see, the good news is that Kotoko, because of the structure of our team, our issues are different. and issues of other traditional clubs are also different. Because of the structure, anytime there are issues in Kotoko, we are easily to resolve. And we always thank the great king for his intervention. At all times, anytime he comes in, things begin to change. After his meeting with the team and the technical team, we saw the performance of the players and everything is well. Even though we've not gotten to where we want to get to, it's work in progress. We are going to do our best to make sure that we get, a respectable position at the end of the season. If things had gone well the way we wanted it to be, by now the league log, Kotoko's position would have been a different position. But it's not late yet. We can still do well. And we are taking each match as I told you. So we are going to meet our opponents in our next game with all the seriousness and expect that we get the best out of the game come next game.
You heard a member of the communications team of Kumasi Asante Kotoko Nana Kwame Dankwa speaking there. On the pitch later today at 3 p.m., Dreams FC will take on Bechem United in an outstanding match week 19 fixture at the Theatre of Dreams in Dewu. Now, Dreams are determined to avoid a drop into the relegation zone after crashing out of the MTN FA Cup at the expense of Bofa Kwatano. Here is Abdul Karim Zito, who indicates that his boys have had enough this season. Karim, we'll bring you that insert in our subsequent bulletins. Let's move it on to some other stuff and let's get to the English Premier League, where we have a big game coming up tonight. Now, before we get to the action for this evening, let's recap what happened last night. Aston Villa staged a dramatic late comeback against Liverpool at Villa Park to end a vital point in the race for fourth place in the Premier League. Now, Unai Emery's side looked to be leaving the door open for rivals Tottenham as they trail 3-1 with 5 minutes left, but two goals from substitute John Durant snatched an unlikely draw. Liverpool's manager Jurgen Klopp says he was not frustrated with the result.
Oh, I don't feel frustrated today. Obviously, this I know. Maybe I should, but I just don't. I'm really happy. Look, we all saw these kind of games before. We all saw games where one team is playing for absolutely everything, and qualifying for Champions League means for Aston Villa probably everything, and one team was already fixed in a position they are in. And the challenge we had today, we had to show character and attitude, and the boys showed a sensational character, sensational attitude. I love that you can dominate a game like we did here today and against a team. And when our Emery team is historically, sensationally well organized, they wanted to be aggressive, they wanted to go for us, and they couldn't because we were that flexible. I liked that a lot. We could score early with some scrappy thing. I don't know exactly how the ball went over the line. Didn't see it properly from my position. And couldn't watch it back yet. Their first chance is then the equalizer, but around that we control it, we play well, we create, we mix it up really well, in behind, in between. Liked it a lot.
You heard Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp speaking there. Later tonight, second place Manchester City are hoping to pip Arsenal, who are a point ahead, having played an extra game, while Spurs are looking to cut a 4-point deficit with fourth place Aston Villa in a bid to qualify for the Champions League. Now, Spurs are not concerned about the Premier League title race between Manchester City and Arsenal and see tonight's game against City as a challenge to measure themselves against the best. Manager Ange Postecoglou expects a charged atmosphere tonight.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's made a difference. I think, you know, even if you're at the game at the weekend, you know, whenever we've sort of been chasing victory or being behind, there hasn't been a real sort of anxiety in the stadium. It's been a real sort of push on the players. You know, we can do this, we've done it before. And I think it started, like, I think with our second or third game against Sheffield United here, you know, when we won really late. Then there was the Liverpool game, and it just built from there. And it's been an important part, I think. You know, for us in the sort of stage we are as a team, you know, if you're sort of fighting our supporters as well, trying to get them to get behind us, it would have made the season a lot more challenging than what it was. So, And it'll be important, absolutely will be, because, you know, against City, there's going to be times when, you know, you're going to have to defend, you're going to have to suffer, you're going to have to, you know, work hard without the ball, and you know, they're going to put you under a lot of pressure, and during those moments, and, you know, if we've got the crowd behind us, we can ride them, then we can have our own moments.
You heard Tottenham Hotspur boss Ange Postecoglou speaking there. Now Manchester City are vying to win 4 away league games in a row without conceding for only the second time, having first done so in the 1903 in the second tier. Now if Manchester City win their final 2 league games, they are guaranteed to become the first club to win 4 successive English top flight titles. Pep Guardiola says it's obvious the only option is to win the game.
It's obvious, I would say. So we have not just one option, because win the game and yeah, we travel for that. I have a theory as a manager that we have done yesterday is over. 15 goals is fine because it gave us the points to still here, but doesn't give you an extra thing for tomorrow when they start the game. So we just yesterday and today see what the Spurs is as a team. We played twice this season and see what changed lately, different players are playing, and know that, you know, the mindset is easy. So in terms of we don't win, we are not going to win the Premier League, and this is what we have to do to know exactly what they are as a team. And like, it's so demanding, always have been in there, but especially this season, because they are more proactive than was in the past with the different managers, and they are so aggressive, and they have.
You heard Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola speaking. Game is at 7 p.m. at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We'll have live radio commentary and analysis for you on 97.3 City FM, with kind courtesy of our partners, Talk Sports. Let's finish off with some basketball from the NBA and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They lost to the Boston Celtics 102-109. The Dallas Mavericks also lost at home to the Oklahoma City Thunder 96-100. That series is tied at 2-2. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading all scorers with 34 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. Today, the Indiana Pacers take on the New York Knicks in Game 5. And then there's the Timberwolves taking on the Nuggets also in Game 5. That's all for this morning's edition of Kickoff. My name is Benjamin Nketiah, the Small Sport at citysportsonline.com.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
There was good and evil. We chose good. Why raise the time of the Most High? Sons of men. The rich man's wealth is in the city.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Destruction of your soul is vanity. Giving
7:36 on the City Breakfast Show, and we are spending time talking about an issue we began discussing yesterday. As if by design, there was a lot of traffic yesterday for people going towards Kasoa from Bujumbura. Indeed, from Kasoa towards Bujumbura, towards Winneba. And this was because of road construction. But last night, indeed, yesterday evening, in fact, yesterday late afternoon, the rain caused a lot of havoc. Don't forget, we've said on this program before that in Ghana, the rain may test for anything, whether it's the resilience to flooding or your transportation system or your agriculture. And it proved once again that we were not ready. And of course, we've seen this problem, the lane from SCC towards the old toll booth. And we know that the road is precarious already, because on one hand, there's a water body, the River Densu, the dam, the Weja dam, the water that's been dammed is to your right on your way towards Kasua. And then to your left are those hills, which really, you don't need to have buildings on them. So essentially, there are buildings that are suspended on clay hills. And the runoff water and the silt comes onto the road. And then, and this has been allowed to happen for many, many years. So, every so often when it rains, you have this situation. But yesterday's was very serious, and we'll try and get to the bottom of why yesterday's was particularly bad. I wanna rule my destiny. And if you live within that area, let's hear from you. Send us a WhatsApp message 0549986996. How bad was the traffic yesterday? Or up to this morning? Some of you say it's actually, somebody said he sent me a message in the evening, and then he, as of this morning, he was still in the traffic. Yeah. You can hear that. In fact, let me play that for you again. The gentleman said he sent me the first message in the evening.
Okay.
And then as of this dawn, he was yet to get home. You know, it's that bad. Oh, it was that bad. It was that bad. I've never seen a gridlock in this country last that long, based on what I hear yesterday. Somehow it didn't affect you, because you are before.
Yes.
You are before.
And I left earlier too, so I didn't feel the traffic that much. But then Malam was flooded.
Can you walk me through the road from Sakaman all the way to Tobut? Are you able to? Do you know the junctions? I really don't.
If I pick Trotter a lot, I would tell you all the names, right? But if you get to Sakaman, then you get to where the footbridge is. So this is Malam Market. From Malam Market to the next traffic light. So that's that Malam Enclave. So
that the next traffic light is
McCarthy traffic light.
Okay.
So there is this interchange over there. From that interchange all the way to McCarthy traffic light, where I would just then terminate.
Okay, right.
All that side was flooded yesterday, and this was around 4. Wow. So yeah.
Oh, so Malam was flooded.
Yeah, this was around 4. So if you left later, you would be in traffic from Graphic Road all the way.
So when you are going on that road, you meet a JE Institute.
Yes.
What's the name of that junction?
Does it have
is it
name?
Broadcasting or something? Somebody's helping me. I don't know that.
Honestly, I don't have that.
You don't have that geographic
detail, but
find it for me.
I use that. And
but this traffic we are talking about was beyond this area. This is now when you are getting to the toll booth.
Yes. So
and when you're getting to the toll booth, you notice these hills, which usually the rain and the runoff water comes onto the road.
Yeah.
Is that what they call SCC?
Yes, there is SCC. SCC is massive. And if you go to the right of SCC, there is Ashbread somewhere in that background.
Mm.
Ashbread was badly affected when the Weja Dam was spilled the other time. Mm. Went to do about town there some time ago, and houses were, you know, the place is so waterlogged that the houses, I don't know how to say it in English.
They're sinking.
The houses are sinking. I know people who have actually relocated from Ashbread because of the nature of the.
All right, so I'm getting some help here.
Yeah.
So you have the, what you call it, Malam. From Malam, you go to the. In fact, there's even the, what do you call it, the JE place I mentioned.
Yes.
It's called Men's Chrome.
Oh,
Men's Chrome. Nanara, but you know that area very well. Men's Chrome.
Okay, cool.
Men's Chrome. I still want to get this information. So there was flooding at Malam, and then there was also flooding at SCC.
Yeah.
Now, the other one that I have to ask people is, where is broadcasting? I keep hearing of broadcasting.
Broadcasting.
Where is broadcasting? Is it the same place? If you guys can help me. Someone just give me the geography. Now, so the reason we're focusing on this morning is the western part of Accra already is the fastest growing part of Accra. We proved this last week when we showed you Ga South and Ga West, and then we showed you Ewutu Senya East, and then we showed you Gomoa East. And we're basically saying that if you look at the 2021 population census, those five constituencies have over 1.5 million people. All right, when you add Ga South to Ga West, and then you add it to Wejagbawe, and then you add it to Ewutu Senya East and West, and then Gomoa East, over 2 million. Too many people. right? So that, and which is why the central region is now the third largest region in Ghana by population, okay? And so, in, at least by the voter registration, as we see, then you have this one main road with no well-functioning internal routes. Now, let me make this easy. If you are leaving Accra to the eastern region, if you are going through Achimota to Nsawam, that's one lane.
Yeah.
If you're going through Ebri, through Ayimensa, that's another lane.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually even go through Dodowa.
True.
In fact, if you're even angry, you can even go through Afienya and still get to the eastern region.
That's true.
So there are four outlets to the eastern region. Now, if you're going to the Volta region, there are at least two outlets. You can use the 22-5 Dowenya Aplau Road, or you could use the road that takes you through 22 to Akosombo and get to the Volta region.
Yeah.
Now, from Accra, the only road to the central region is the Malam Kaswa Road.
Yeah.
Technically, you can go through in Sawam and go and use this road I described yesterday, but that route is not really Accra, it's eastern region. So the first problem central region has is that there's only one main road to the
connecting
region. The second region is that because the place is poorly developed, there are no alternative routes. So let me give you another example. If you live at Ayimensa or Danfa or Adenta and you're leaving Accra, you can use many routes. You can use Domi Kwabenya, pass through Agbogba and get home. You can use the main Liberation Road, J.J. Rawlings Road and go home. You can get angry and pass through East Legon and go and pass through Ajingano and go home.
Several now, routes.
If you live at Kasua, unless you are riding a motorbike, you just have to be on that main road.
Yeah.
There's no alternative. There's a road that takes you to Botian on the beach road. It's not a good road. It's not even a proper...
It's terrible.
On the right side, you can pass through Oblogo and pass through some Bawishos areas, but you basically still come back on the same road.
Yeah.
So I think that the West Ghana South enclave actually needs an engineering solution. It needs an engineering solution beyond the normal thinking, whether it's water transport or rail transport. Security-wise, what happened yesterday was very serious, because if you can have a whole community cut off from 5 p.m. to 3 a.m., I mean, imagine if some crazy terrorists come and hijack that area. Do you understand? It's a major challenge that between the urban roads people, the highways, the police, the MTTD and the military, there should be an unclogging solution. In addition to an engineering solution, we know that it was because we allow people to build at the wrong place that led to this problem, which we've talked about for years. But now that the problem is rearing its ugly head in the rain, we cannot just say, well, people have done the wrong thing, so let things be. I am appealing to the engineering authorities to come up with an engineering solution, whether to do some emergency dredging of something or just clearing of the silt. Something has to be done. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
On that whole Malam all the way to Kasua, the whole Malam to Kasua has so many things that need to be done on it. There are parts of the linking roads that are not tarred. So when it rains, silt comes onto the main road.
All the time.
So you can be driving home and then you get into... Then the other point is about an urban transport solution. All right. So the people... Look, yesterday, if you go to 37 after the rain, I can tell you that many of the people in that traffic live in Kasua area.
37?
Yeah, because you see, Kasua houses a lot of people of all walks of life. And because typically... housing is cheaper in the western part of Accra than the eastern part.
Yeah.
More low-income people live in that part. So these are nurses, teachers, traders, hawkers. So when there's traffic and there's rain and there's no car, I can say about half of the people live in that area.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the urban transport solution for them? Can't we have like dedicated buses to just pick people from Kasua to Accra and back? Maybe 50 buses.
Actually,
I mean, what will it cost us?
Actually.
All right, and then create a lane and say, give them something.
Yeah.
You cannot have people standing like people. Imagine somebody is a nurse. She's left Kasua around 5 a.m. to come to work, and she has to go back home to be on a night shift, and she's standing in that traffic for 3 hours. She can't come back to work.
So, Bernard, if I get you on a rainy evening like yesterday,
a system that is responsive to its citizens will say, okay, we know that a good number of our citizens who are stranded are going towards Kaswa or Ashaiman. Yeah. So we bring buses to these bus stops. They should just enter. We are taking them. And then maybe some military or outrider will be ahead of them, clear the way, get people to where they can easily get home. Because don't forget, if you're in Kaswa and beyond, people get to the main road and then journey another 1 hour, 2 hours before they even get home.
I agree with you, and also the reason I say this is that any system that has not built in responsiveness to emergency is not a resilient system.
Right.
What do I mean by that? So I'm not even saying procure the buses permanently. You have BRT buses, some of them are just lying at Maya Hot Junction. I feel like when there are high stressful traffic situations, the city authority should be able to deploy these buses for that night.
Yeah.
That's a responsive system.
Yeah.
Fine, procuring new buses may be too expensive and I don't want to create, but like to have people, and mind you, June 3 occurred. Why did June 3 occur? June 3 occurred, one of the reasons was that when it rains, people don't know where to stand. True. So there was no proper bus stop.
Yep.
So people went to that station at Circle as a safe haven.
Yeah.
Because they were standing under the what do you call it? You know the thing, the station.
Filling station.
Because they wanted to avoid the rain. We were walking to Circle, and the water started rising. So they went to stand there to wait. Do you get it? So the transportation problem compounds the poor planning and how. So to unclog Accra's mess, there has to be a transportation site, right? And I'm saying that between the BRT, the Ministry of Transport, the town and country planning people, the urban authorities, they need to come up with a transportation solution for the people who live in the western part of Accra. All right. Mm. Let's hear some of the people yesterday and today going through this very, very stressful situation.
So I got to Barrier around 3 o'clock.
And
3 o'clock.
And you have been there since, or you've managed to move out of the place?
I've been there since, but I got a good American who was just passing at the back of the West Coast Mall, and then he held me through the main road. So I'm walking back to Kaswa.
Ah, so it means that cars are not able to move. You have to get off the... Were you using a trotro or what was happening?
Yes, I'm using a trotro. And then there are blockages. The water has soaked the road, and then you can't go and then you can't come. There is no car going in, and there's no car coming out.
Now, is this a usual thing that when it rains, this happens, or this is the first time you are seeing something like this?
This has been occurring any time there is rainfall.
So what, the whole road? So it means the whole road is full?
The whole road is choked and blocked. There is no car going in and out. If you are coming from Cape Coast to Accra, you have to sleep on the way. You can't go. And then if you are coming from Accra to Kaswa, you can't come. There is a huge traffic here on the road.
That is serious then. So people move in the cars when they... Where exactly is the problem? Where exactly is this problem?
Okay, so it's in between Barrier and then SCC.
I can hear an alarm in the background or a siren in the background. Is that police or is that ambulance? What's happening?
Yes, so this is an ambulance. Yeah, this is an ambulance trying to bring somebody to a clinic around the West Coast Mall. When you pass West Coast, there is an hospital at the Wager, Bawe Hospital. So that is where they are sending the person to. But because of the traffic and then the new blockage of the road, the person can't be migrated to the place.
So it means the ambulance is stationary. They cannot move. They cannot continue the journey.
They are stationary. Yes, they can't move.
It is almost 7 p.m. I'm sure it is dark there now. How are people managing in the darkness and in the floods?
Okay, so we are trekking on the roadside, and it's not safe for us. I work from the when I was small. Now I'm out from almost at Atua. I work, so it's not easy for us all. We are stretching one, a person and the family, a man, woman, children, two children. They are all working, stretching to Atua.
I see. So how long have you been working for now? 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours?
Okay, I can say it's almost 2 hours, 3 hours.
And you are not the only one working?
No. We have two children, workers who are closed from their workplaces and then they are going back to their home. They are all settled.
What about people who are coming from Kasua to Accra? Are they able to move?
No, please.
So no car is going through the water at all, or some are managing to go through?
Some are managing to go, but you can't go because the middle part of the road is closed. Because they are constructing a gutter right behind, behind the Westfield Mall. So there is a lot of sand on the road. So they can't go in and then come out. Those coming from Cape Coast, Tasua, they are stuck in between the West Coast and then the Togo.
Sandra, can you believe that from Makati Junction to Wager, I spent 2 hours only on the road. The cars are not going, they are not coming back. From Kaneshi getting to Tasua is a good luck. But from Kasua coming to Kaneshi, that road is a little free because there's no car coming beyond West Hills Mall. So that has been the situation we are in now.
We are told that the difficulty is because of the construction that is happening. Can you connect the construction to what's happening?
I don't think the construction alone is enough justification for what is happening. From, you know, this problem has been there for about 4 years, 5 years over now, especially or particularly from Barrier to Atala or from SEC to Atala. That has been the problem anytime it's even drizzles. So you can imagine, coupled with the construction that is going on in the rainy season, you don't expect anything less than this. That's the situation we are in now.
So it means the road has been completely cut off, and so if you're moving from Accra to Cape Coast tonight, forget about it. And if you're coming from Kasua to Accra, you better stay home.
To wait for her. That is all.
Are vehicles managing to go through though, or there's no movement at all whatsoever?
Okay, so there are some vehicles that are managing to go through, and some are now crossing over to the other stretch of the road. So they are driving, which is also dangerous, because everybody is struggling to go through. Once you get into the route, there is no turning back, there is no retreat, there is no moving forward too.
Interesting. Now, you are saying that this is a regular occurrence every time it rains, so what happens next?
It will be the same thing. Nothing is done, nothing is, like, we will still be in this like that, and you will know the next day, they will send some trucks to come and take some sand, win some sand off the road, and it is the same thing ever since, over 5 years and over now. So this is what we, those around this stretch of town, are facing.
Are there no alternative routes that you can use so that instead of going through the main N1, which is the road that you're on?
Not at all. There is no other alternative route you can use to Kasua. There is no other.
What can you do, or what are you going to do tonight?
Well, I'm still stuck in traffic and I'm just managing to get to the house. That is all I'm doing now.
Yeah, Bernardo, good morning. I greeted good evening when I set up at when I was in traffic around 7 p.m. and it's 2 o'clock and I'm still on the road, just about 10 minutes to the house. It's taking me 9 hours to drive from Accra to Millennium City. Assuming I was even going to Wasabekwai, I would have even arrived already. This is what happens on a rainy day like this, because of some useless assembly that we have and either some of our indigenes who are just recalcitrant in this sand winding thing at Atala. For how long are we going to continue this nonsense? You guys have a bigger platform. I have seen this happen since 2008, and I'm just imagining when we will rise up as a country to ensure this nonsense will stop. It is pathetic. Imagine driving for 9 hours. I counted close to 13 broken vehicles on the road, 13 various models. I mean, for how long, Bernard? For how long? Anyway, let me just go and try and catch some sleep, because I will have to be up in some few hours to start the day again. Enjoy your sleep. Good morning.
7:57 City Breakfast Show. Those were some of the comments we got. Kwabena Wilson is our online editor, and he was caught up in this traffic. Wilson, help me first. I'm trying to understand the bus stops from Malam. I'm told after that there's something called Benji's.
Yeah, so.
And then there's Mango Line.
Yeah.
If you can walk me through that.
Okay, so from Sakaman Junction.
Yes, which is Dansuman.
Which is Dansuman. Then you move to Malam Market.
Yes.
And then from Malam Market, you go to McCarthy.
Now, so Malam Market is the interchange?
Yes, Malam Market is the interchange.
Yeah.
And then from Malam Market, you go to McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at McCarthy, there's a first bus stop. Mm-hmm. Now, just after McCarthy, that's where you have Mango Line.
Mm-hmm.
That's where JE is. Then you move to Men's Chrome.
Is the next one after JE?
Yes, after JE. So just to Mango Line, Men's Chrome.
There's also Pambros.
So Pambros is just before you get to Ouija Junction.
Okay.
Yeah, so Pambros is actually at Ouija Junction.
So it starts from Ouija Junction.
Yeah.
Goes to Pambros.
Yeah.
Men's Chrome, Mango Line, and Benji's.
No, Benji's is
before.
No, so Benji's is before.
I see.
So you move from McCarthy, then mm-hmm. Benji's.
Mm-hmm.
Benji's is just before JE.
Mm-hmm.
And then after JE, you go to Pambros.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new China Mall.
Yeah, Chinatown.
Yeah. So you get to the China where Empire Cement is,
yeah.
And then that's Ouija Junction. That's so.
So after Ouija Junction, what do you?
Yeah. So Pambros, Empire, they are all around the same area. Yeah.
So from there, where do you go?
So from Ouija Junction, then you go to Tetegu.
Tetegu.
Yeah, so you go to Tetegu where you have Palace Mall.
Wonderful.
And then from Palace Mall, you go to where we call Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Then where they have London Bar and all those places, and then from Choice, then you move to Old Barrier.
Old Barrier.
That's the problem area. And then from Old Barrier, you go to Block Factory. And then from Block Factory, then you go to SEC Junction.
So what's the problem at Old Barrier?
So between Old Barrier and SEC Junction, that's actually the problem area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, behind West Hills Mall, there's a new estate there called Eden Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Eden Heights, you have this new development around that the hill, on mm-hmm. top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's this illegal sign reading activities around that side. So, and it's been going on for a very long time. So anytime it rains, the gutters from all that side are choked
with sand.
With sand
and materials.
So there's the rain, there's nowhere for there.
So it brings it onto the road.
And so it takes over the road between XCC Junction and Old Barrier.
So the sand and the silt gets onto the road.
Gets onto the road.
And then the water level rises.
And it rises. And so yesterday's situation was compounded by the fact that there is this construction going on at SEC Junction. I think someone is trying to construct a new shopping mall just before West Hills Mall.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And so the major drainage system in front of West Hills Mall has been, I think they are trying to reconstruct it.
My God.
So they've blocked that major waterway
mm-hmm.
and they've diverted it onto the road.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. And it's been going on for some time now.
So when it rains, all the water from there comes onto the road?
It comes onto the road. And that's the problem that happened yesterday.
So when the water level rose, people couldn't cross.
You can't cross because even before, I mean, this has been happening for the last 10 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
Even before, when it rains and you are not lucky and you are driving around that side around that time,
mm-hmm.
you're likely to lose your car. Because I have two friends who have lost their car.
How, I mean, lose your car like how?
Because if you get stuck and then you have to leave your car there. But when you get stuck, you can't move. Especially if you drive a
car. So the water will go
into, it'll go into your car.
It will even get onto your seat.
Engine. So you have to either get out or you sit in the car. So I have a friend who lost his Matis because he couldn't move. So he had to leave the car and look for someone to stand. Then the engine was gone. He had to
condemn, as they say.
It was gone.
So yesterday's problem was so I like what you're saying. The construction behind the West Hills, behind Eden, whatever.
Yeah. So that the Eden Heights is the new development area.
And that's behind it.
That's behind Eden Heights.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the sand winning activities happen. Now, so all the gutters around that side are choked.
Wow.
So you see, the former MC who recently passed,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Kumo,
mm-hmm.
there are times that sometimes he gets his people, they try to sell to the Gathites and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But once it rains,
it will come back.
It will come back.
So how far is this? You said, what was the name of this area? Old Barrier.
Old Barrier.
To the Kasua toll booth.
So Old Barrier to the Kasua toll booth ordinarily shouldn't take you more than 15 minutes if you are driving.
So yesterday's traffic was between the toll booth and...
So yesterday's traffic
was not even toll booth.
No, it started around... So I got to Malam Junction around 10 p.m. because my sister was stuck there and I had to pick also my girlfriend around that side.
So, two troubles, one God.
So it starts from...
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday started from Malam. So I got to Malam around 10, 11 p.m. 10,
almost Malam? 10
p.m. Yeah, mm-hmm. Malam Market.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this golf fuel station at Malam.
Mm-hmm.
When we got there, I noticed we can't move.
So, even from Malam?
No, from Malam. So I parked at the golf fuel station in the evening.
With, right, on the right.
On the right, yes, on the right. With other residents who are also stuck.
Oh, just Malam here, no?
Just Malam here, no. So we parked there. So I was there, so I was at the fuel station in my car till 2:20-something.
Are you serious?
Yes.
From 10 p.m.?
From 10 p.m.
So you slept at the Malam filling
station? The fuel station. No, when I left at 2 a.m., I couldn't even use the Malam stretch because the traffic was still there.
At 2 a.m.?
At 2 a.m. So I went to use the... You know, there's a road off Bawi. That takes you behind Oblogo.
Oblogo.
And then brings you back to Weda Junction.
Yeah.
So that's the road I went to use. And then I came back to Weda Junction. But then I cut all the traffic between Weda Junction, Makati. I cut all those that traffic. And then, so, but still, I entered the traffic around Weda Junction. And then between Weda Junction to my house, because I live at SEC, I spent roughly another 45 minutes to get to SEC Junction.
Wow. This is a City Breakfast Show trying to give you a description of yesterday and today's mad traffic between Malam. So we have even gotten to the toll booth.
No. This is also a different problem. You know, the toll booth is where you have also the rainwater carrying the sand from the hill onto the road. That's where you have Asamoajan's house and all that.
Ah, so that's the second leg of it.
The first serious part is between SEC Junction and Old Barrier, where you have and there's a company there called Atala.
Mm-hmm. Atala.
Now, in front of Atala is where the major problem is.
Wow.
So, this morning, when I go home, changed, had some 30 minutes sleep, and then I left. When I was coming around 5 a.m., there was no traffic. Ordinarily, around 5:15, there's traffic on that stretch.
Oh.
Yeah, because a lot of people leave home very early. But this morning, there was no traffic because I'm sure a lot of people were
still sleeping. People are tired. Yeah, they are tired. Yes. We'll come back to this point. Time check, 5 minutes past 8. Let's bring you tech and social media trends. If you live in that enclave, send us a voice note, 0549986996. Is the description of Wilson correct? He says, actually, this problem is between SEC to Old Barrier. Atala is the issue. Atala. Send us a comment. Do you agree with the description? What's the best solution? Desilting the gutter, stopping the sun winning, moving all construction, maybe 5 kilometers, whatever. Let's hear from you. But Tech and Social Media Trends is brought to us by Telecel and Telecel and who? First Bank, okay.
So First Bank says, we've got exciting news for you. We are now First Bank. We are no longer FBN Bank. That's right. FBN Bank is now First Bank Ghana. Stay tuned in and discover the new and exciting ways we put you first. First Bank Ghana is part of the First Bank Group that is 130 years strong. First Bank Ghana, you first. And Telecel says, you're about to have the world at your fingertips because the wait is finally over. Telecel is here. Now you have everything you want and need. Quick and reliable communication. Stress-free money transactions via Telecel Cash, transforming your big business ideas into success stories with Telecel Business and more. Connect with Telecel and enjoy a world of endless possibilities, because with Telecel, there is no limit to connections. Telecel, connecting energies.
Nathan will tell us what's trending this morning.
Well, today, Charlie, the stories have me stunned, really. Mm-hmm. So let's get into the trends. Malam and Kasua are trending for very, very, very obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, people couldn't go home. People got home this morning and all of that. It has people talking. The rains yesterday caused a lot of damage. Two other things that are trending. Stevie Wonder is also trending. Yesterday, his Ghanaian citizenship was conferred on him. So he now... is a dual citizen of the United States and Ghana. Now, because of that, the phrase 25 Grammys is also trending. Why is 25 Grammys trending? That's the number of Grammys Stevie Wonder has won in his time. A lot of people say that, well, the Nigerians have a few Grammys. Well, guess what? Ghana says, hold my beer.
25.
We now have 0 to 20. We've gone from 0 to 25.
That's a good one.
Anyway, other things that are trending. Manchester City is trending on the sporting side because they are playing tonight at Tottenham Hotspur. If they win, they have, you can say, one hand on the Premier League title, if you like, or they go ahead in the title race. So those are some of the things trending. Remember the Sarkodie thing I mentioned, the beef? Well, it is still on. The name Dreamo is trending. Dreamo is the Nigerian who responded to Sarkodie's brag song. And so he responded, Lyrical Joe has told Sarkodie, you sleep, let me take care of this for you. So Lyrical Joe is also trending. He and Dreamo are going back and forth over that. So those are some of the things trending this morning.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Minutes past 8. Looking for that special present to appreciate your mom on a cool budget. Electroland Ghana Limited just made it easy and affordable with our Mother's Day bundle promo. With just 1,999 CDs, you get a Nasco gas stove, kettle, juice maker, home theater, and a fan in our Mommy Pub bundle. Show Mommy she's your one and only with our Wodemufua bundle at 7,999. For LED digital satellite TV, tabletop fridge, gas cooker, chest freezer, electric hotpot, microwave, iron fan, gas stove, and voltage regulator. Each bundle is a heartfelt gift of affordable luxury to appreciate our mothers. Call 0503-159-739 for further inquiries.
You may be aware that coping with anxiety is essential when starting your career, but how exactly can you navigate that and how can you cope with anxiety and stress to be ready to work? Join APSA Ghana's Ready to Work webinar for answers to these questions and more. We'll be discussing coping with anxiety as a young person. We'll be live on the APSA Bank Ghana's Facebook and YouTube platforms on Friday, May 17th at 11 a.m. sharp. This is your opportunity to engage, ask questions, and share your thoughts on this vital topic. Don't miss it. Your stories matter, APSA. Join the Purple Experience to explore the future of banking, which comes with the first Atlantic Bank, the digital bank of the year, with their awesome digital banking platforms. The first Atlantic Bank gives you a new digital world experience. Download the first Atlantic Bank mobile app from the Google Play Store or dial *442# for your bank transactions. Also available at the first Atlantic Bank Internet Banking Corporate Play, Corporate Pay, DigiPay, Master and Visa cards for all your banking needs. It's safe, secure, and very simple to operate. First Atlantic Bank, refreshingly different. Bernard, there is Standard Water. We've been around for more than 25 years and we've been providing quality and refreshing water to quench your thirst. We are in 11 regions and we are expanding. We have sachet water, bottled water, dispenser mounted jar water, and customized water for your parties and other special occasions. We are available for purchase from supermarkets, retail shops, and sales delivery trucks. So for inquiries, please call us on 0202-055-703 or 0544-7334-385. This advert is FDA approved. for the young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, look no further. Kindly join us at the Ghana Grows Program, brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. We ignite hope and guide you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. So whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, this is for you. It's an initiative of MasterCard Foundation in partnership with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. So please call us on 0308-255-775.
Meanwhile, the GRA is reminding all withholding tax agents, including VAT withholding agents, appointed by the Commissioner General, that their taxes must be paid to the Domestic Tax Division by 15th of every month. So that being May, the taxes are due by 15th of May. These are taxes for April. Now, we are talking about withholding taxes for VAT deducted from suppliers operating in the standard rate employment, payment for the supply of goods or the use of goods, payment for supply of works, payment for supply of services, and other withheld taxes for April. They are all due by tomorrow, 15th May. For more information, go to taxpayerportal.com. You can also call 0800-900-110 or 0200-631-664. And that, in line with GRA's cashless policy, both check and cash payment should be made at any of the 23 designated banks, the Ghana.gov platform, or via USSD code *222#. All right, Caleb, read a few of the comments for me. We're talking about traffic from Malam Junction to Old Barrier, the main choke point being SCC or Atala.
Yeah, man.
And we are told sand winning activity, silt runoff water coming through gutters choked. Human activity, poor road planning, and low not enforcing our building code. All of those things leading to traffic that affects. By the way, I'm still saying that Ga South, Ga West, Ewutu Senya East, Gomwa East, and to an extent, Wejak Bawe. When I put the numbers together, almost 2 million people.
Yeah.
It's now the most densely populated part of the country. And it's crying for attention. It's crying for
Chris
attention.
Says there is a road from Ablekuma Cave through Danchira, Domiabra to Obom Road to Kaswa. I used that stretch from Shashi. It took me about 3 hours to get to Millennium City, Kaswa. Okay. Good morning, Bernard. I reside at Kaswa Crespo City and work at Jowlu. I left the office at around 5:10 p.m. and got home around 1:45 a.m.
Wow.
I told my colleague at 7:30 p.m. when they were on the N1 to text when they get home. The text came at 2 a.m. when I had been asleep for nearly 4 hours. Charles East Legon. Good morning, Bernard.
Morning.
Yesterday's situation was we were really helpless. I left the office at the West Hills Mall around 6:10 p.m. and exited the Wager Junction at 10:35 p.m. Most commuters got down from the buses and walked. Even military men came to our rescue before the traffic started moving. Yesterday was my worst nightmare.
Dr. Daniel Soa is the Ga South Municipal Road engineer. He'll talk to us about the situation. Mr. Soa, thank you for talking to us. Good morning.
Thank you, Bernard. Good morning.
Morning. So, kindly lower the volume of your radio set. So, when we talk of Ga South, where are we talking about? So that my listeners can understand the area. Where does Ga South start from? Where does it end?
Thank you very much. Ga South starts from the bridge just after Tetegu on your left, out to the Kaswa interchange there. There's a stream there called Ukuru. That's on the left. That's where it starts. So on the left, it goes through Aplaku, Botiano, Kukubiti, Langba, Tuba, and Jisembaro. Then on the right, just after the Tinsu River, all right, goes to the Kaswa interchange. Then turn right through to Obom Road, all the way to Obom. So in short, this is the geographical area of
The last time I checked from the 2021 census, Ga South has 350,121 people. It's the largest district in that area, larger than Wejak Bawe, larger than Gomwa East. So it's very big. What's the total length of roads? Just talk to us about the road network in Ga South first and foremost.
Per the data that I can speak on, is that we have about 741 we have 1,741 kilometers of road network. That's for the road within them. And this one comprises of both urban roads and feeder roads.
But the main road is basically from where to where? The main road.
The main road, which is managed by Ghana Highway Authority, starts from just after Tetegu, right all the way through to Kaswa Interchange.
Wonderful. Now, yesterday, I am told that the main choke point was between SCC and Old Barrier. Is this correct? What is your reading of the situation that caused yesterday's traffic yesterday?
Very correct. It is. You know, an issue that we are working on. We are battling to find a solution to it. I happened to be in the meeting at the Regional Community Council just last week. In fact, the regional minister delegate, invited us to come and brief him about the situation. And as I said from the beginning, that network is managed by Ghana Highway Authority. So the regional director was there, and he briefed everybody who was there the problems that are there and what we need to do to solve the problem.
So in a nutshell, what is the problem? My colleague was talking about sand winning behind the Eden Heights area, leading to silting of the gutters and all the material coming on the road. He thinks that's the main problem. Is that the same understanding you have?
I don't think that your colleague is abreast to the situation over there. Behind the Eden Heights.
Hello? Sorry. Hello, are you there? We've lost him. We have to call him back. He was trying to dispute what you were saying. Please put him back on the line. Well, at least he agrees with you when you say it's SEC to Old Barrier. So at least both of you agree on what the problem is. Yeah. As to what the cause is, is where we are going. Yeah. But he said there were in a whole meeting yesterday. I was going to give you some numbers, though. So from Malam Junction, that's Ablekuma West.
Yeah, Malam Junction, yes.
No, Sakaman is Ablekuma.
Sakaman. Malam Junction, so no. You're talking about Sakaman Junction.
Sakaman Junction.
Yes.
Sakaman Junction is Ablekuma.
Yes.
Then you go to Malam Market.
Malam Market, yes.
Okay, I was going to give the consensus. Doc, sorry, we lost you. So you were saying that even though the location is correct, SEC to Old Barrier, the cause is not sand winning. What is the cause of the problem?
In fact, we have to trek on the stretch where the, you know, the stream that discharged towards that section is. And when we track myself, the regional director of Ghana Authority, and other senior colleagues in the ministry, realize that this is, you know, a stream that discharged all the way from the broadcasting top over there. There's a place called Botiano, which is an upstream over there. And there's a water that, when the time it rains, it discharged through that section and walks through all the you know, drainage systems over there and comes down and just spread in that area.
So can you explain? So you're saying it's a stream that carries material onto the road. Where is the sand on the road coming from?
That's what I'm saying. When you go up there and you identify the source of the stream, where the water comes from, and you check the silt, the sand, the type of sand, the texture over there, you see the same thing on the road. You realize that it wasn't as a result of sand winning, but it's a result of erosion that, you know, anytime it rains, it washes the surface of the soil. Remember, you know, everybody's building. Everybody's building in Accra. Either to previously, all those areas are covered by vegetation. But now there are construction going on all over. And anytime you touch the surface of the soil and you lose the texture, you realize that it becomes loose. And anytime it rains, you know, it's just at the mercy of the water. And just washes it and it comes down.
Are there gutters connecting the places people have built to the main road gutter? Are there any gutters?
In fact, there are gutters, but not enough. As I'm talking to you right now, where a lot of the silt comes from, we are now constructing a storm drain, which I would like to invite your team so I can just lead them to look at the storm drain that is being constructed right from the place called Babadogo. That's the major source where the thing comes from. We are doing the storm drain, which is connecting to the outfall where the water is coming from.
So if we do the storm drain from Babadogo, where will it lead us to? Where will the storm drain end?
It will lead to a factory at the back there called Sunda. And they have lined their drain, so it will connect to that section. And when you connect to that section, when you are coming to the main road, you know, where the old Mekong is, we have a line drain over there, which the local service is working on it now. They are working on this right now to, forestall that problem that is happening over there. So we'll connect to that existing one, and then we'll also connect to the new one that Agro is working on. Under the Ministry of Western Housing.
So the first engineering solution is the storm drain. What about the fact that some of the connecting roads have also not been tarred? Because if the road has sand on it and the rain falls, the water will erode the sandy, silty things onto the main road. So is there also a road tarring project in connection to this storm drain thing? Or the storm drain is the standalone solution?
Bernard, you are really identified the issue. You know, the roads connecting to some of these areas are also earth roads, which also washes. As I'm talking to you right now, there are series of work that are going on. We are doing some of these smaller drains to just define the road and just put bitumen on some of these roads, which for us we think that it will help to reduce the siltation on the main corridor.
Will you have to move any houses or bring down any structures to facilitate the storm drain or to allow the water to flow? Or we haven't gotten there yet?
Some structures have already come down.
We have already
some structures, yes. I can send you pictures to that effect where we are constructing the storm drain flow. Your team can visit us. To see what we are doing.
No, they're on their way there. They're actually on their way. So that yes. One will come. I just wanted to understand the problem because of listeners to know. So, okay, having said all this, could you not have anticipated what happened yesterday? Because you already have said to me that there's a stream that when it rains, water comes onto the road. We know the roads are not tarred. And we know the rains have started. And every now and again, we see this traffic. Could we not have anticipated the seriousness of yesterday's flooding and its concomitant traffic?
Bernard, yesterday's rain was unexpected. I mean, the volume. Because the short period that it rained, you realize that the volume of water that came down was really, 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 unexpected. And I believe that, because of that, it causes the problem that we have. We've been having that challenges, some time ago. But for almost 8-9 months now, we've never had it like this, and we think that yesterday one was something else.
Could there not have been anything you could have done whilst this was going on? Because this started, I'm told, from like 5 p.m. and as of 2 a.m. people were still in the traffic. Couldn't the assembly have joined forces with another group to even do some emergency dredging or something? Because to have that level of traffic, it's even a national security threat, right? Couldn't you guys have done anything while this was going on?
Bernard, you could have done that thing that you are mentioning when it's raining. When the water is rushing down, what can you do?
So what about this morning?
After the rain, that we will take away the snow on the road and allow the traffic to flow.
So as of this morning, is there any work going on there?
In fact, before it rained, yesterday. There's a contractor. Let me just even bring you back a little. There's a contractor working on the main road. He's coming to do an asphalt overlay from Malam Junction to the Kaswa interchange. And which the work that he's coming to do, inclusive of solving some of these problems that we are experiencing. Okay. So the contractor who is coming to do the work was on the road just getting some of these trenches dredged. And the toll booth was just taking away the silt and all those things over there. And it rained. And we'll call him back this morning. We have spoken to some site engineer to come back this morning. Let's see what we can just do to take away the silt so that we can reduce the traffic congestion on the corridor.
Okay, now, Dr. Sowa, my other question has more to do with future plans. Is it possible to do alternative routes I was pointing out that in many parts of Accra, if I'm going to Abdenta, there are many ways I can go there through many alternative routes. If I'm going to even Tema, there are many ways I can get there. But somehow, if I'm going to Kasua, unless I want to use the Insawam side or some other Amasaman place, there isn't really any alternative route. So from a planning perspective, is it possible to recommend an alternative route to the main Malam Road?
Yes, no, we have a bypass, that's the Atamils bypass, which currently is not in too much good shape. But the director of Urban Roads, they've secured a contract to work on that road. The contractor just reported to site to work on some of the section. Then from there, we will tie the that section to allow
are you saying that just like we have the beach road from Nungwa to Tema, there is the Mills Highway connects us all the way to Kasua? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's also an alternative to Kasua.
And do you know the state of that road?
That's why I'm saying that it's not too much in a good shape. There's numerous portals on that section of that road, and I told you that a contractor is on this right now, which you can check from the Department of Urban Roads office to work on the drainage section of the road. Then we will reseal the road again.
Because from what happened yesterday, I'm sure it will galvanize authorities to look for money to do that road. Because if that road were in a good shape, I'm sure people would have reached home earlier, and even to reduce the traffic on the main Malam Road. So it's something maybe you want to look into. Of course, you are the municipal engineer. You are not the minister, but at least I'm talking to you as an expert on the area. Whether you can make a strong recommendation for that road to be fixed, and then we can use our airtime to push that agenda. Because honestly, what we saw yesterday, I've never seen it in my life. Seriously speaking, yeah. I've never seen it in my life at all. So what's your message to those who live in the area? Should they expect any more of this for the next few weeks if it rains? Or are you saying that based on the work you are doing these next few days, this type of thing will not occur again?
Yeah, I think the regional director of Ghana Authority can give them more assurance. But for me, from where I am, where we are in charge of the urban road, which is not on the highway, we are working on some of these strong things, connecting some of these roads and just get it done, so I can reduce the level of situation on the main road. But I believe that being in meeting with the director of Ghana Authority, Kitaka, presenting their plans and what they intend to do, I believe that in the coming few days or months, we could see something different for whatever we are looking at.
Yeah.
Bear in mind at the traffic light, as I said, hydrological services are working on the sand trap, just to trap the sand at the upper side of the road, so that when the situation comes, it will trap it over there, and over there we'll take it away.
Now,
so what we see on the road is just the water, which will go through the channel and just go.
Engineer, thank you for this. But before you go, what you described for SEC to Old Barrier, is this the same problem that occurs when you are getting to the toll booth? Is it the same situation that occurs there?
The same situation.
And what is the solution to that one? Is that also a storm drain solution, or for that one, there's no storm drain matter there?
That session, the presentation that was done by the Ghana Authority was to, cut that hill, which is a loose soil, and just, plant, just do some vegetation over there, so that at least it will hold the surface of the sand. Now, anytime it rains, we have only the water, coming down. Then it will go through the culvert which is across the road, and it will go into the ditch, which will not be a problem.
Do you know if any planting has started, or this is still just an idea?
I think it's just in the planning stage. As at the time, it was during the presentation last week to the regional minister. He was talking to the regional minister, so he can just push an agenda to get that problem solved.
Okay. Finally, when my colleague said sand winning contributes to this, you said no. Are you saying that no sand winning is happening, or that the sand winning does not contribute to the erosion? Which is which?
What I'm saying is that sand winning could contribute to the problem, but But what I'm saying is that around where you mentioned, there's no sand winning going on over there.
So where is the sand winning going on?
I don't have an idea of any place where sand winning going on in the municipality now.
Oh, okay, because he said that there was a place behind Eden Heights where people were to collect sand, and that contributes to the problem.
Since you said they are coming around, I'll meet them. Let them show me where the sand winning is done.
All right, thank you. So, okay, he's not part of the team coming, but Vivian will send a team. So, we are on our way there. Thank you, sir. Okay. That was Dr. Daniel Soa, Gansa Municipal Engineer, road engineer.
Yeah.
Clearly, he knows his area very well. He's talking about a storm drain solution. He's talking about tarring the roads. And then he's talking about planting trees for the toll booth side. You agree with what he's saying?
Some part of what he's saying is right, but there are a lot of the things he said I disagree with. For example, when the past he talks about no sand winning, Bernard, I may not be an expert, but I've lived in Ouija SEC since 1999. I was 14 years when I started living in the
1999?
Yes. I probably know the area better than he does.
1999?
Yeah, 1999. I was just 14 years. So wow. I probably know the area better. I jog past the Eden Heights almost every Saturday morning, anytime I'm able to wake up early.
Mm.
Behind Eden Heights,
yeah.
He's right when he says there's construction going on. That is very true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who have moved there, who have started constructing in around that side. So that contributes to. Now, before this construction started getting to the level that we are seeing now, there were people who were going there to. There were illegal sign. What do you call it?
Sandwinners.
Sandwinners who were going there, and so the sand that you see on the road between SEC. And barrier. There's no way you can tell me that sand is coming from the surface of where the toll booth.
No, it's he said Babadogo.
Babadogo is even.
He said that's the source.
It could be. Babadogo is even way far away. Is that's what I'm saying. That I may not be an expert.
Mm-hmm.
He has toured the area with his engineers, and they have explained things to him. But we live there.
Mm-hmm.
We live there. We know where the problems are coming from. Now the road construction. Apart from the main road, the main Ouija Kasua road, almost all the roads around SEC, they are not tarred.
Mm.
Almost all
so
of them.
So if they had been tarred, it would then
least, yes.
contribute to reducing.
Yes.
So he was right. He agrees with me on that
part
point.
Is right.
So the road should be tarred.
It should be tarred. That part is right. And then between the road I used yesterday, there's a road that connects you to SEC Junction from Bojo, Oblogo.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through Gbawe, you come down to Oblogo, and then you turn right. Then you go to Ouija. That road takes you, or there's a road that takes you all the way to SCC. Now, for a very long time, I think that, I don't know what has happened to that road. So anytime it rains, that part of the road also floods.
Let's speak to a duty bearer who lives in the area. He is MP for Dododio, which is not the area. But to the extent that the alternative route he speaks about, at Amils Highway, all the way past his
concession. He lives there. So
I know. So I'm going to talk to Neil Ante Van der Poel. Nilante, thanks for joining us. I don't know if you were caught up in this traffic as well. What is your understanding of the problem that caused yesterday's gridlock between SCC to Old Barrier?
Well, thank you very much, Bernard. And let me congratulate and say I'm so grateful to City FM for the work you are doing this morning. Because this has been a perennial problem. And it looks like we, the people who live in that area, in this area, are the only people always talking about it. But I'm happy today you are dedicated close to 1 hour, 30 minutes talking about this issue. It's a very important national issue. If you count on the fact that the major access route to the central and the western part of this country, which also harbors the ECOWAS highway, is what we are talking about, then you should know how important this road is. Bernard, this issue, 7 years ago in Parliament, I raised it. The then Minister Amakwata said something will be done about it. When he was reappointed and at the Vetting Committee, as a member of the Appointments Committee, I asked him this same question again. He said it will be done. Bernard, up to today, nothing has been done. Two main causes I have seen, and I've asked the engineers. And just as the engineer, I said Dr. Soa or something.
Dr. Soa?
Yes. told you, that's all that they have. But even with my ordinary, common, let me say, illiterate mind, I've been able to identify this problem, and I've told them. They say, oh, it will be too expensive. Bernard, if you travel outside Ghana, we've had many offset problems. Even recently, here in Ghana, the pediatric Ebri hill, when the rock started falling, what did they do? At least something was done about it. We sat in this country and allowed people to build on the Lama Hill. So we've disturbed the surface of the hill so much that now when it rains, it washes all the sand from that hill close straight onto the road. And because the road slopes from that area down, the sand is then washed from the barrier, from the toll booth street up to Finley and to the West Hills Mall. Once every time. And when you talk, every day you see new development coming up, and we have an assembly. An assembly cannot do anything about it. Secondly, from the SCC to barrier, the problem has to do with the drain that has been constructed is not big enough. So when it rains, it washes all the silt from those hills, the new Botiano area, down to the main road. The Akala area, STC down to. So now that part of the road, two lanes are gone. The water washes the road off every time. So consistently, that the first lane and the inner lane and the middle lane are gone. So you are virtually left with only one lane. This issue has been raised in Parliament. The government says we shall do something about it. Recently, we saw them constructing a drain. And I said, look, this drain you are constructing, if you don't solve the problem, Bernard, the silt will choke the drain and we shall have the same problem. They've not addressed it. So if you don't go up to address the problem that will suffer downstream, Bernard, no matter what you do, you will continually be bringing a loader to clear the debris and the silt on the road every day. Mm. You will continue to inconvenience people every day. It is absolutely a waste of money if you don't solve the problem at the head.
So for me, what he said was storm drain from Babadogo to some place. That's number one. Number two, tar the roads that connect to the main road because there's a lot of sand on the road. And then number three, possibly relocate some buildings which are on the waterway. And then number four, create an alternative route from the Atamills Highway all the way. Apparently there's an old beach road there that is not in a good shape.
We call it the old Winneba Road.
Mm.
The old Winneba Road. So when this road was being done, the Atamills government work on that road. So that road will take you all the way to Budubram. Take you to and then to Budubram. That road, Bernard, is horrible. Between Baria to Aplaku is worse than the main road issue we are talking about. Since Atanasis time when the road was done, it suffered potholes and it's down. The potholes have turned to manholes. We have a place called downtown. As for that place, if you are using a saloon car, forget it. After using it once, you may have to go to a workshop. Between old Aplaku Cemetery towards Botiano, it's worse. So you can't have the access routes in this condition and expect people to use it. That's why everybody is using the main traffic. So if they want to have pressure on the main road, then immediately, because this road, let me tell you, people who use this road have demonstrated three times in the past year. Recently, the taxi drivers and things at the barrier blocked the road. They rather said it was NDC people who were inciting people to do that. The road need to be fixed. And for this, Bernard, let me say this. putting politics aside, I have spoken about it. The MP Sly has also spoken about it, virtually cried in Parliament. Nothing has been done. Look, the road, the access road in front of my house, I personally did it. It cost me almost about 32,000 to fix it. When there is traffic, that's where everybody is. From the West Hills, they go to Eden Heights and then connect to the road in front of my house. But when you get to the junction, what we call Agrada Junction, from Crown Liberty Hotel down, you suffer another problem because the road is bad. We don't have any main access route where the alternative route where the main problem happens, the main road, because the two sides of the road all has valleys. The best alternative is to reconstruct that stretch from Dansuman through Pambros to connect the old Winneba Road. If that is done, then those who are going to Cape Coast and the rest, when there's traffic, they come from Carnation, they can just use that place, Dansuman, and then through, so they just come out around Winneba. And then they are gone.
Mm. So the solution, but all this solution will cost money. The question is, the government will say we are debt exchange, there's no money. So I don't even know, even if you raise it in Parliament, unless it's an emergency issue.
Fixing that Tamil's highway is not going to cost any huge money. Bernard, it's not going to cost it. Look, I went to use 400 something million to dig a pit in the name of National Cathedral. And Bernard, this food takes a whole chunk of our population. Greater Accra, Central, Western North.
Mm.
And you think it's not important? The cocoa that comes to here. This time I've seen rubber plantations also bringing their rubber all the way through this route to Kema.
I see. Meanwhile, Parliament that can even move for this thing to happen. You are still in the house. So I don't even know.
Parliament, this issue has been raised several times on the floor of the house. We've talked about this several times. It has not moved from us to the executive. It's the executive who's supposed to do it.
But you must hold them in check. You must use the power of approval or disapproval to ensure they do it.
Look, you see, Bernard, sometimes I feel sad, and that's why some of us are getting out of Parliament. We have Government Assurances Committee in Parliament. After ministers have come to Parliament to give answers to questions, this committee is supposed to hold the executive accountable to the promises they've made and the pledges they made to the House. They will do it. Recently, they did a public hearing. The executive will tell you, we'll do it when there is money. But they don't know how to align their priorities to national development. They don't. If they do, we will not be suffering what we are suffering on this road. Bernard, I'm telling you, because it has been a perennial thing. And you see, they wait. And then all of a sudden, the rains come. And then they come to do the same thing all over. Immediately, the rains, and that's all. They don't care about it anymore.
Mm.
This thing Dr. Soa is talking about is the same answers they gave us last year.
So you don't think anything will change?
Well, when there's a change of government, things will change. No, Bernard, because I stay here, I'm sure that when I go to my president and I tell him, sir, this is the problem. We have been caught in it before. President Mahama has been caught in it before. On one of our trips, we were caught in it.
Now let me speak out. The problem has been there since 2008.
It's been there. When Atanos was in power, that's how we did the highway to ease the traffic. Now that access route has also gone bad because it's not been maintained.
So
it used to be a very nice road through Botiano, Kokurubite, Oshie, Tuba, and then you go through the Sete Kakraba area. Then you enter. So maybe you can enter Kasua.
or you can go beyond and enter Bodubram.
So that road is and there should, just simply asking for renovation. If it's renovated, it will ease the traffic.
Not even renovation, asking for maintenance.
Maintenance. All right. We'll bring our cameras
there. Routine maintenance.
We'll see what we can do.
So, it's horrible.
So now that you say you are leaving Parliament, what will you be doing? Are you coming back to media? Can you do sports interviews so that I can give you a job?
Bernard, the last time I told you that, unless you want me to take off at a Kotubwa for a job.
So you are still available.
But then, no, Bernard, what I'm saying is that I know Dumama will win. And when he wins, definitely I will get a job to do. But then what I wanted to do is to have a strong advocacy group of former MPs outside to see what we can do to make the legislature much more stronger.
So you go been. Outside Parliament to help Parliament work, since being inside is not helping. Yes. So you go outside to help.
You see, the experience we've had, some of us, we've seen the limitations of the legislature when you have an overbearing executive.
Mm.
It is only advocacy that will sensitize Ghanaians to be able to put pressure on the executive to do what the legislature says it must do.
So when your party wins, will the president reduce the powers of the executive? Because there is in opposition, it's easy to say these things. When you come to power, then you now realize that, no, power is sweet. So executive power, because, no, for example, the president appoints over 6,000 people. Are you saying that when your candidate wins, he won't appoint those people? Or you will let somebody else do
it? No, Bernard, it is not about reducing the executive powers. It's about the executive collaborating effectively with the legislature so that the problems of the people, as addressed by the representatives of the people, will be taken on board by the executive. So the executive will have to align their priorities with the concerns that are expressed by the representatives of the people to the legislature. Because when you come to Parliament and it is question time, all the questions that MPs ask pertain to problems in their various constituencies. So, for example, the MP for Botany Nusayamanfrom comes to stand there and talk about the problem, this problem. If we have a good executive that collaborates well with the legislature, they pick it on, they make it a priority, and then they address the problem. Once you address it, you think that you have addressed the problem of the member of parliament for Botany Nusayamanfrom. No, you have addressed the problem of millions of Ghanaians who use the road. But it's because I can see a very wide gap between the legislature and the executive. All that the executive will do, just go and satisfy them, give them any answer, and that's the end of it. But if we have that advocacy, that will continually remind the executive that this is what you did, these are the timelines you gave the legislature.
All right. We'll leave it here. Thank you for talking to us, as always. Thank you. Neil Antivanapo is MP for Ododo Duo. Which is really Asiedu Keteke. And he lives in the Aplaku areas, and he's been commenting on this matter. In studio, I still have Caleb Kuda, I have Richie Sky, and I have our online editor, Welsing, who left. When did you leave the office?
Around 9 p.m.
Slept at a girl filling station between 10:30 and 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And went home to do his ablution, and then he's back on the road. Why didn't you just ask permission to stay home or work from home?
Oh, well, I thought about it, but I mean, you know the way our job is, so you have to.
If you had said that, you could have. I'm sure. I would have, if you had told me, I'd have. Now you're letting me feel like a bad guy. I'll come back here. You know,
Bernard. So I'm running the South area through Google Earth, and you will see the Wager Reservoir somewhere at the top. It drains all the way down to the sea. And down there, you will see the Densu Delta, which is a protected area. So you have wetlands down here. So in between the reservoir, you have some highlands there. The Wager Dam, you have highlands there where people have actually chipped off the hills or mountain and literally built on the tip of the mountains. Then you cross the road to the other side. So we are talking about Samwajan side. And then you're seeing that people have their houses on top of the hills. And then there is a very sharp cliff here. We've not greened that part. We've not stoned it. We've not paved it in any way. So wherever it rains, I mean, the silt is moving down. There is mud flow and it's huge around the Tuba junctions linked together.
So you have two wetlands
exactly. Surrounding
hills.
Super.
And there's a road going through.
Fantastic.
And people are building indiscriminately.
Thank you.
So it's basically disaster waiting to happen.
So those on top of the hill are building at the very tip of the cliff, and then those down there are also building into the wetland.
And the other question is, do they even do retaining walls when you build? Are there, because I'm sure there are building codes around building on highlands,
yes,
where you have to spend money to make sure that the water doesn't allow these things to flow down. We don't know if they are doing those
if
things.
You get close to any of those who have built within the Densu Delta, you will see that their walls have been perforated because of the salt content in the soil. So people are building in the wetland, and that's a problem. Because what the wetland literally does is, as it had rained yesterday, all the water, if we had proper drains and the roads were good, the water would have just collected within the wetland and then kept that, stored that, and then over time, it then releases it gradually into the sea.
Let's read some comments on this matter. I still have Wilson here. Neil Antis also made his point. And we want to hear from those who live in the area. So, Caleb, you can help us.
It's worrisome that public leadership cannot find solution to these perennial problems. Worst of it is that they wouldn't take or try to utilize freely proffered solutions. It's getting worse each time for Ghana. Public leadership these days is all about chopping posts, lording it over the citizens, enjoying the specs and largesse, and finally just doing something to represent something. It's Joshua from Akwitiman. Bernard, African leaders are always reactive. They never think in advance. This problem has been there since ages. Now the municipal road engineer is talking of we are about to. The suffering of the masses is never their concern. Michael from Lagos is unhappy. Bernard, no government official, municipal or assembly official will tell you the truth. It is Atala. Atala has covered the waterways with his building, and every time it rains, they only bring trucks to carry the sand away. Okay. Good morning, Bernard. I work inside SCC, and it was crazy and has always been crazy when it rains. I left the office immediately. I realized it was about to rain due to the previous experiences. This is what I think, as this has been the challenge for many years. Employers should immediately close offices and ask people to go home the moment they realize it's about to rain, because it's really pathetic, especially when you should get home this late and then go back to work the next day. God bless Ghana. Good morning, City CBS. Listening to your colleague's narrative about people sleeping at their fuel station in Mala makes me feel we could have another June 3. We must all play our parts for a better Ghana. Nee from Accra. Hello, Bernard. What your guy in the studio is saying about sand winning is correct. Isaac Brown from Awoshi sends that. Good morning, Bernard.
Morning.
There is sand winning going on there. I promise you, it's true. Uber driver and I went there just this Saturday. Good morning, Bernard. Kaswa traffic has the same problem since the road was made. Poor drainage and mud flow. Suggestions: construct bigger drains and use cement on all the hills around there to hold the sand, or plant grass, create more alternative routes for the road. Good morning, Bernard. I live in Millennium City. I got home at 2:36 a.m. The people in charge were sleeping when we were suffering. It needed some quick thinking, but just realigning traffic with decorum. As long as the roads are not fixed, the mud coming onto the road will not be taken care of. Let's use traffic realigning when the rain comes down to help us get home quickly. We need the authorities thinking quickly and working together. Frederick Takia Boy sender through Bernard. I live at Teshi and work at SCC. Wow. Yesterday's traffic on the SCC to Atala stretch was so serious that I had to spend the night in a hotel at Block Factory. The government has to do something about this looming disaster. As for the Gasau Municipal Assembly, the least said about them, the better. I am Joshua, writing from Weja SCC. Bernard, with what I'm seeing at Kaswa, I fear for Ayi Mensah in the next few years because of the rate of forest depletion on the mountain. Landslides and road floods are inevitable. Our leaders are complicit and watching. Matthew from Uyarifa. This is Stanley from Rasta Road. The Weja Kaswa issue has been there for years and authorities are back to talk about the problem. Oh, Ghana. Good morning, Bernard and team.
Morning.
A friend of mine left Odoko at 5:15 p.m. yesterday coming to Gomua Akotse. He reached Akotse at around 1:34 a.m. How would he be able to wake up and go to work this morning?
I know the worst part.
The network too isn't working since last night and even this morning. Wisdom from Gumaka.
You should just go and farm in Winneba. You should leave. You should call Abenyo Manke and say he wants to learn to farm, or he wants to go and work in his constituency as a teacher or something. You know, move to the eastern side. Well, don't come to this side. Go and look for a job there.
But last night's traffic was tragic.
Oh, Lord.
I got a car from La Paz at 7 p.m. and I got home, that is Casua Galilea Market, at 2 a.m. Something needs to be done.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bernard.
Yeah.
I am F. Osei Owusu. Regarding the Malam Casua route, a short-term solution would be to impose sanctions on companies like the one involved in sand-wetting activities to deter them from operating in the area, plus desilting the drains. However, the long-term solution I recommend is to construct a bridge either from Malam to Dansumantunga down over the Pambros to Weja, similar to the bridge construction seen in Nigeria between the mainland and Banana Island, which would suit the water-heavy topography of Malam, Weja, and its surrounding areas. Thank you for your words.
Okay.
The flood is from SCC to Old Barrier. Okay, these are older messages. Bernard, yesterday I left the office at 5:20 p.m. and I got home at 2 a.m. Now I'm from Sakama next to Chala. Then Malam Market, Malam Junction, McCarthy Hill, Manscombe. Okay, you are providing us the locations as we go. Good morning, Bernard. For me, I don't think we need new roads. Rather, rail would be the best. Good morning, Bernard. I am Matilda from Ablekuma. There is a road from Ablekuma Agape which leads you to Bawe and joins the Wager Road, but that road is very bad. It's untarred and rocky. So people living in Ablekuma and its environs will always have to go through the main road through Malam to Wager and Kaswa.
A minute tonight, let's summarize the possible solutions. So there are two traffic spots. SCC to Old Barrier is one. And then, is it broadcasting?
Broadcasting, yes.
Broadcasting to toll booth.
To the toll booth, yeah.
Is the second one. Now, yesterday was SCC to Old Barrier. The solutions are fourfold. According to engineer Soa, they will do a storm drain for a place called Babadogo to some other place. Number two, they will tar the roads in the community. Number three, they need to move some houses from waterways.
Yeah.
And then he also kind of agreed to the sand winning, but it wasn't really in agreement. It was sort of 50-50 on the sand winning. But I see the storm drain and the tarred road as a major part of the solution. Now, the broadcasting to toll booth, his proposal is that they should plant trees to strengthen the hills so that the runoff water will not come. They're going to plant trees. They can't move those houses.
Mm.
And then the general solution to all the problem is the alternative route between Atamills Highway that goes through Pambros.
Yeah, all the way to Tuba. Then it takes you into Millennium City. I've used that road from Cape Coast to Tuba before. So when I got to Bujumbura, there was traffic that day. Mm-hmm. I think about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a road that you just turn right and it comes all the way to Tuba, or you can go all the way to through Botiano,
mm-hmm.
and then you come to Old Barrier.
So I
used it and I got off at Tuba and then I joined the main road back to SCC.
So that is a long term solution, an alternative road so that it eases the traffic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's one.
That's one.
So again, listeners, I'm using the three E's here.
And also they can also work on the road between Bawi, mm-hmm. that links you to SCC. Connects you through the dam, where the dam is, then brings you into SCC. If they are able to connect that road into SCC, all those who were going to SCC yesterday won't use the main road. Mm-hmm. We just have to go and use Bawi, come down into Weja, and then you enter SCC through that road.
Now, whilst we spend a lot of time talking about yesterday's problem, I want to also say that the second major problem for people who live in that whole western part of Accra is transportation. Okay, I wanted to just put some numbers out so you get the point. So, as I said, when I looked at the 2021 population census,
mm-hmm.
the five or six constituencies or districts in that area they're among the mm-hmm. top 10 fastest growing constituencies in Ghana or districts in Ghana. If you start from Bujumbura, Gomwa is 308,000 people. If you come to Kasua itself, Ewutu Senya is 236,000 people. If you come to Gan South, which is Botiano, to all the places that have traffic yesterday, 350,000 people. Wejagba with 213,000 people. If you add Sotum, Gan Central, 332,000 people. And then if you add Gan West, 314,000 people. Together, it's almost 2 million
people.
Almost
2 million, yeah.
Now, what? How do they get to work? Most of them look take trotros.
Trotros, yeah.
I'm sure a few of them will take taxis and Ubers. Yeah. Now, if honestly,
get a lift.
no functioning city can have just one main source of transportation. So what are we suggesting? There must be a special BRT starting from Bujumbura all the way to Malam.
You know, the BRT that they said they were going to construct from the Gafrik Road,
yeah,
was going to go through Kanishi to Kasua. That's the one that they were supposed to start from the Gafrik Road here.
Yes.
That will take you all the way to Kasua.
This one?
Yes. Yeah, but Malam. Which never happened.
Yes. That, yeah, because it's the Tumoto one.
Yeah, the Tumoto one started. But they were supposed to do one, yeah. I think, from the Gafrik Road all the way to Kasua, yeah, using the median.
Right.
Yeah, but it never happened. So I don't know if they can do it now, because if you are coming from SEC Junction to Malam Junction, you have the median is quite huge enough.
Yes,
put something in there to make it more like an emergency road.
Yeah,
that the BRT can use. So I'm not an engineer, so I don't.
So
know
we need a transportation engineering solution, whether water transport, whether rail, whether tram lines, or whether a BRT. Look, most people in Accra, when there's traffic and they can't get home, they live in that area.
Yeah.
I can say, I think about 40% of the people. Because at the end of people, they will find their way. Yeah. There are too many routes to
use. Many routes, yeah.
Tema people will find their way.
So all it's those people, who are always so held
if,
back.
If you go to 37 and those places and there's traffic,
yeah,
most of the people are going to that side. Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, Sky, if you live in Adenta, Madina side, they, you can even use, if you're angry, you can even use Achimota. All right? But these guys have only one route. So I am saying that if we are serious, let's just get buses and just start from Bujumbura to Kasua, Kasua to Tollbooth, Tollbooth to Old Barrier to Malam, whatever. Because the trotters are lousy. They are not regulated properly. They are ineffective. When it even rains, it enters the trotter. You get it? So it's not even a proper way of moving people. I'm not saying we're ban trotters. Give us alternatives so that we will know. I mean, it's not. I think it's irresponsible to allow citizens to just be going through this trotter wahala.
You know, I followed the whole BRT thing a lot until it just failed. And typical of the Ghanaian government, you had so many people in the offices, ministers, MPs, you know, civil servants and journalists traveling out of this country to many African and, you know, jurisdictions outside Africa to study how this thing operates. And the World Bank gave us so much support, so much money, which was expended on this project so that we could enhance mobility and the movement of people and goods around the national capital. But for some reason, we blew the cash, did some little work, brought in some buses, and then the whole thing stalled. The idea, which was seriously resisted by the GPRTU and their allied institutions at some point, although initial indications were that they were going to support it, was that they were going to restrict the trotters to the service lanes. So you know the inner community. So for instance, the places like Chantime, places like Zongo Junction and all of those places. The trotters will collect people from those areas and bring them to the main roads where the BRT buses will be using. So then you drop them there or you have them alighted there and then they join the buses. So that they were not eliminating trotters entirely. They were restricting them to the inner cities and ensuring that only the big buses operated.
So what happened?
For some reason, a collusion of agitation from GPRTU and related or allied institutions or groups, politicians lacking the political will to actually push this thing forward, and the usual mismanagement of resources. Because at the end of the day, we blew so much foreign support on this particular project, and the thing did not work.
Let me ask you a question. Does the BRT still exist?
It exists in name, but in reality, it is not functioning the way.
Fred, Is BRT?
Quality bus.
I mean, can you call somebody from there? I want to know. Does Frechidi still work there?
I think he's giving up and he's left them for their trouble.
No, we need answers because you cannot have. I am saying that trucks don't make sense. In addition to the traffic.
Mm.
Now, he has a private car,
mm.
so he was able to park and sleep in it. Imagine if somebody didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to go home? Mm-hmm. You know, so I am asking the BRT people to call into the show and explain themselves.
I think that institution has become a pale shadow of his mm-hmm. former self, if there was even his former self in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because if you...
It's a pale shadow of his own former self that never existed.
Yes. Because if you look at it, look, we went to Lagos
mm-hmm.
and we saw the transformation that the likes of Fashola brought to Lagos mm-hmm. using Lamata.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to move several thousands of people across
mm-hmm.
Lagos mm-hmm. on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
The problems associated with stealing people's bags and all kinds of things had plummeted considerably as a result of that intervention.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen it operate in other South American countries. We've seen it in Spain and many other places. And these were the areas that the government sponsored people to go and observe how it worked. And we were to adopt their systems with the necessary modifications to suit the Ghanaian context. But for some reason, as is usual,
yeah.
we imported buses and messed up the entire system.
Is my concern about transportation legitimate and the issue of trotters and the need for buses?
Yeah, very legitimate because, Bernard, if you, on Monday mornings,
mm-hmm.
if you leave my area around 5 a.m. and you get to SEC Junction,
mm-hmm.
man, you feel sad for some of the workers who are going to work because you have at least not less than 200 people standing at SEC Junction every Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The same for Block Factory, the same for Titigu, almost on a daily basis. This morning, it was the same situation. There are no buses. So the trotters, they load from Kasua.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they get to SEC Junction, they're already full. So if you had buses, that would just go to this bus stop and just pick people and drop them off at Vantage Point for them to continue to work. It will solve the problem. It will help a lot. But that is not the case. So if you are lucky, you have money, you pick an Uber, or someone gets there. Before, what I used to do is that when I get there, I ask who is going to circle. And then I pick people. But I stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped because now. Yeah, I stopped. At a point, I stopped.
There's no sense.
Yeah, you know.
And you know, if you're going to Winneba, you know, I go there every now and then for court and related matters. You want to leave as early as 1
if you make
or around midnight.
It's the best time.
Yes. 1
a.m.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you leave close to, say, 4 or 5 and you are not careful, you are going to sit in that traffic like forever. And when you are coming back to, you have to choose your moments carefully.
I mean, last year I went for a funeral in Cape Coast. On my way back, I was in traffic from Gumafete
mm-hmm.
all the way to Kasua.
That's crazy.
And I spent almost 2 hours. I mean, it took me less than 1 hour, 20 minutes to drive from Cape Coast to Winneba.
That's crazy.
And I spent almost two
hours. So let's ask a question. Now that I'm told there are about 5 contractors working on the Kasua dualization to Winneba. I hope they are considering a BRT. So you see our problem. We solve one problem, we create another. We move the traffic from Malam to Kasua. We move it from Kasua to Bujumbura. We are going to move it to Winneba.
Yeah.
People are building all over.
Yeah.
5 contractors are working quickly to finish because election is coming. Mm. So they are all working at night and at day. The question is, are they making bus lanes available? Let me give you an example of a good road. You see the road that leads you to the... where they did the Olympic Games.
Botema.
You see, they've done two-lane middle, mm-hmm. two-lane, and then one bus lane. Yeah. So that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So you have like a service lane for buses and troskies,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the main road for people to go. I really don't know the design for the Kasua road and what they are doing, but I hope they are doing that. Because more roads doesn't necessarily ease traffic if the road design does not allow for alternative usage.
Yeah.
Number two, the population from Winneba, Bujumbura, Gomoa East, Efutu Senya East, Efutu Senya West. There's no way a BRT will not be needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because low-income people live in a community. Most of them don't have their own vehicles. It's a dormitory town for Accra.
Mm-hmm.
So if the people from this guy's junction
mm-hmm.
decide that they don't work, Accra will come to a standstill.
Oh, yeah.
If they decide that they don't come to work, mm-hmm. so let's assume one day the people in from Barrier all the way to Bujumbura said Enkwe Juma. Accra cannot function because there will be no traders. Almost all the things we do, these people do it.
Civil servants.
Uh-huh. So there has to be a system where you can move them. Mm-hmm. I know it's easy to talk about water transport, but at least now you have road. You have buses sitting down at Maya Hot. Release the buses. Have a flat rate. Sit in the bus. At least commute them in and out. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. But somehow, somebody is looking for an opportunity. They are waiting. When we make the thing, then it's okay. Let's cook another deal. Let's go and procure buses from China. And let's call it something bus. You know, this kind of procurement-led solutioning is not the thing. We need to think deeply about how do we... Because you don't just want to build a road. Mm. You must integrate that to a transportation solution. Mm. Do you get it? And then an alternative thing. He was talking about the medians. The medians are large.
Mm-hmm. You put a tram there.
Something. How much does it cost? Even if you put a tram for 2 kilometers, it can ease traffic.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, you know, while he was talking about the dedicated bus lanes, I remembered one time we were driving through a part of UK and there was a stretch that no car ever drove there, and Skelly was telling us if you were not a bus
and you are there
and you dared drove you on drive. That stretch.
No, as they say, Obasu.
And you see, that
engineer,
was
Ajay Boateng is a transport systems engineer. I want his thoughts around not just what happened yesterday, but an integrated transportation solution for the western part of Accra. So I'm talking Malam all the way to Kasua and beyond. What is the best way to solve that problem? Engineer, the little notes I've been reading from you is helping me to make some suggestions around integration and things. What's the best way to fix the transportation and movement problems from Malam all the way to Kasua?
Thank you for having me on your show. The Malam Kasua problem is becoming perennial, but the solutions are quite many. Now, all of them have to be done at the same time to have the full impact of whatever solution we bring on board. First of all, if you look at the Malam Kasua Road, that's the N1. That's one of the most important highway network in the country because it moves all the way from Aklawo to Elubu, and that's a lot of commuting. And unfortunately, looking at the urban network around that stretch, there have been a lot of residential areas in Kasua, which generates traffic towards the city center. And that is one of our main being, because assuming we had a lot of services in Kasua, which would encourage short trips within Kasua, it would have rather reduce the traffic on the N1. But unfortunately, almost everybody is coming to Accra Central to come and do business. So that is one of the main challenges of the N1 on that stretch. And looking at that, to provide the short-term solution is to provide high-capacity vehicles for short trips. So if you look at the Kasua Malam Road, then that means the BRTs and maybe, the country had enough investment, they could go in for trams, and that tram is a higher capacity than the BRTs. And that would have really solved one of the major problems of capacity. But that would be even on the short term, in the sense that the long term is to develop Kasua such that people stay in Kasua and not come to Accra. That is the ultimate solution for Kasua.
Will a BRT system work for that part of town?
The BRT system will work for that part of town. But in transportation, that is a short-term solution. That's a short-term, even though it can ride for a very long time, it's a short-term solution to solve the congestion problem.
What about having water transportation? I'm told that there are some places like Sierra Leone and even Abidjan where vessels are put on water to transport people. Can we use the sea? Will that help? Is that feasible in the next 5 years?
That is feasible, but the issue with the water transportation is that it has to be holistic, in the sense that once you get trips from Accra to that part of the western part of Greater Accra, then you have to now be able to
build the road network around maybe, let's say, Kokurubiti and Gumuafete and all those things. That means there's also another road network and also another set of urban planning that has to be done really well to integrate that kind of traffic coming from the water transport. But definitely putting water transport will definitely reduce traffic on the N1. So it's also a solution that can be looked at.
I'm told there's an alternative route from the Atta Mills Highway through Pambros all the way through to parts of Kasua. Is that, does having that alternative route, like the way we have the beach road and the motorway, how does that change the congestion equation?
It changes because most of the traffic, if you look at the matrix of the origin and destination of a lot of the commuters on that stretch, they are coming towards Accra Central and they are coming towards the CBDs of Accra. So if you put a link right from Atta Mills Highway all to Motiano, that means you are taking a chunk of the traffic from the N1. And Motiano linking Mount Pose would really take a lot of traffic from the N1 in the sense that people can now commute and hit Motiano. Now, there's already a bypass in Motiano that has been done couple of years ago which would also be able to take that traffic all the way through Kokobite. Then you can climb back to Kasua through to do through Kasua.
Right. Finally, as we speak, there's a road construction going on beyond Kasua all the way to Winneba. It's been dualized. What is your recommendation for road design to allow for the kind of integration you speak to be possible? Because if the integrated road usage can happen, it must be built into the design ab initio, right? So what is your recommendation for what ought to be done now to allow for that type of integrated transportation solution?
Yes, sir. For me, I haven't seen that design yet, but I said that they should really separate the highways from the service roads. The main highway is a long-term project that's going to be from Aflawo all the way to Elubo. So the main highway is supposed to really separate it from the road that will be serving the community by either a separator, by either ramps or whatever. But it has to be really designated that once you enter the highway, you have only limited places to exit. So that people being the true commuting would really have their mobility unimpeded. But if you want to work around Bujumbura or other ways, you have other alternatives while using the service road to really commute.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it, sir. That was Engineer Ajay Boateng. Final word to my online editor who lives... Where do you live, sir?
So, SCC. The SCC is just when you get to SCC Junction from Old Barrier, just before you get to the mall. The last traffic light before you get to the West Hills Mall, then you turn right. Mm-hmm. All that part is called SCC.
I have a friend who says his first house was at Botiano.
Yeah.
And that some 10 years ago, a similar situation happened after rain. He left the office in the evening and go home at 2 a.m. He's since sold the property and left the area for good.
If not for the fact that it's my mom's place, mm-hmm. I would have moved from the area. Because, you see, sometimes I think about, you know, moving out, going to rent and all those things, like the associated costs.
But it's easier to stay there.
Yeah, it's, yes.
I mean, because you don't pay rent.
You don't pay rent, yeah. So, people are building houses there. A lot. Because when I first moved there, it was more like a forest. Our house was... I could count the number of houses there.
So, who is your MP?
So, my MP now is Tina Mensah.
Wait, so you're in Wijagbawe?
Yeah, Wijagbawe. So that's Tina Mensah. So then,
so this is where Jerry Ameshaibu has now come.
Yes. So just opposite us, then we have Sly.
Sly Tete.
Sly Tete. Yeah. He's just across from the road.
My God. So he's Botiano English Amanfro.
He's Botiano English Amanfro.
And then yes. Jerry is Tina Mensah.
Tina Mensah. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And
it's terrible.
It's completely unacceptable. But this matter, I've raised it here a number of times. Mm. Go to court, come back. The stress you have to deal with. Some, as you were talking, a number of professionals, including lawyers, they cram into the trotters with their suits and you'll be sweating in the traffic all the way to court. I think the government has got to realize that the Kasua end of town is a huge dormitory.
It's changed. The Accra has changed. You can't neglect it anymore.
Yes, the massive numbers of people coming in from that end have got to be accounted for. Yeah. They have to be taken care of.
Yeah. The rest of
and government policy must address that.
We could even create Greater Kasua as a municipality and change the configuration. Because I even think the four constituencies, four districts I mentioned, Gan South, Gan West, Ewutu Senya East, and then even Gomua East together, it's like Greater Birmingham.
It's huge.
It's a massive area that requires its own development plan.
Exactly.
It's not, if I'm the Greater Accra Regional Minister, my influence in Tema is not the same as my influence, say, at Aplaku. Because the people there, they are even more Kasua facing. Yeah. So we have to even re-engineer the way the place is governed.
Yeah.
All right. Because there are peculiar challenges they face that we here don't face.
Yeah,
so you need somebody who's there, who has a lot of power. So if I found like an Okova Napoe kind of person, put him in the middle of that place to work with the four assemblies to say, look, come up with a plan to solve your problems. I think it's much better.
Yes.
Because now you have two regions. You understand? And the Kasua people are central region. It's not even going
to
work.
It's Chakabi. And we've taken a whole onion market to that side of town.
Yeah.
And when you reach there, the huge number of people that you see, you sometimes, people going there in huge numbers to buy, onions, commercial activity. All of those people have got to be taken care of in one way or the other. And as Bernard is saying, you see, we are leaving those areas to develop on their own. We are not planning them as we should. And a few years from now, we'll have the chaos that we have in many parts of Accra in that side of town. Because as developing communities, one would have expected that stringent measures would have been put in place that, this place is now developing. Like how they built Melting Kings.
Yeah.
They built it purposely to address a particular need. And everything was properly planned. And in our case, zero.
I think that one of the, apart from macroeconomic issues in Ghana, whoever wins this election has a big planning thing he has to work on. The point you raised about a new capital, new cities. If we don't do that, we are doomed. So I will leave here. Thank you for being on the show. I think you should try and go home early today if you can. Or bring your mattress to the office. That was Kobna Wilson, City Online Editor. When we come back, we have some great news. You know, it's not everything that's doom and gloom. So I'll be speaking to the coaching professionals in Ghana. This is not football coaching. This is life coaching. You know, you need a coach. Like, you know that in some cases, like somebody like you, high talent, high capacity journalist, lawyer. If you had like a professional coach working with you, they could improve your productivity by, say, X amounts.
Wow.
Because you are working hard. You are very intelligent. But a coach will make you accountable.
Wow.
Yeah, a coach will help you. Because you are very intelligent and smart. But you may hustle for many years if you don't have somebody who will guide you, say, look, this guy, this is how to manage your... I'm telling you.
Puff.
And there are people I know who are high-level CEOs who are coached.
Wow.
You know, because you need that help to move to the next level. So I want to recommend a coach for you.
Bless you. Are they here?
The association is here.
The association is
very so here. We'll discuss what is possible.
Very well.
Yes,
very
they will
well.
Tell us what is possible and what is not. Yes. They have a big event coming this week.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes,
beautiful.
So I'm not talking about football coach.
Personal coach.
No, you need it. I'm telling you. We'll take a break and then we'll discuss whether Sky can be coached. Because I think you can be a millionaire. The way I see you. You want to benefit from your millions.
God bless.
Because you are more talented than me.
The first million I'll give you half.
I'll lock you to a coach. 5 years, no, 1 million. But, and this is USD million, not Ghana million.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. Another OPK classic.
So it's 9:29. We are still on the City Breakfast Show. And I have in studio two leadership coaches. Samuel Eyim is a leadership coach, a member of the board of directors of the ICF. This is the International Coaching Federation, Ghana chapter. Skofre Nanaya Oyebua is also a transformational coach, president of the board of directors of the same. And they're here to talk about a big event they're having this week. Scofrey, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you.
And Samuel, it's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
He's one of our resource persons for the Effective Living Series.
Powerful.
And so we are happy to have him. So, who is a coach? And we're not talking about football. So talk to me about coach. Who is a coach?
Good morning to your cherished listeners. And thank you for the good job you are doing, especially on the road. I listened and I was like, wow.
Yeah,
that's a social impact. So
actually,
thank you.
I live there. I was caught in the traffic yesterday.
Oh my God!
I live at Bawe.
Oh Lord!
Yeah. So we are grateful for the opportunity. So, coach or coaching? Coaching is one of the faculties of the human capital development. So when you pick the two other, like if it's a triangle, you pick the left and the right, you have training, and you have mentoring.
Okay.
But the base
is coaching.
Is coaching.
So training. Mentoring, coaching. It's a triangle.
Yes.
Wonderful.
So we noticed way back in the 70s that that aspect was lacking. Because Thomas Leonard and a couple of his kind agreed that there is something phenomenal about coaching. Where if you don't tell a human being what to do, but you question or I question Bernard, Bernard, what is your purpose in life? And Bernard strings this to me. The next question would be, if Bernard is into journalism, how does journalism connect to your purpose? So the impact of questioning and how it can shift even your microbiome, the researchers are amazing. When a question hits you, it can even give you, say, butterfly feelings.
Wow.
Okay. So coaching is basically saying we meet with a professional coach. We look at your now, where you are now presently. Where do you want to get to? And we use questioning, very powerful, deep-seated questions to stimulate how you think about the world, how you see the world, how you feel about the world, the action and inactions that you contribute to the world, such that you will become a viable human being.
Oh, I see.
You just don't exist, but you live. So basically, this is what coaching is. It's not just as simple as it is, but when you go, you realize that Charlie,
So training, mentoring, and coaching as three sides of a triangle.
Yes.
We are told it's a $4 billion industry for practitioners.
It's actually 4.5 billion
globally.
This year, per the estimation, it will hit 6 billion.
What is Ghana's share in that?
That is why International Coaching Federation was important for it to happen here.
So they are bringing it here, or it's already
currently
here.
Currently, we are duly ratified as a chapter
of the International Coaching Federation.
So we are ICF Ghana chapter.
What does that mean, Sam, having the ICF Ghana chapter here?
Thank you, Bernard. Having the chapter is actually very important. You just talked about the numbers and you rightly asked the question, what is our share? What this means is that we're going to have the platform, one, to bring together the coaching professionals in the country.
Okay.
Two, we're going to create the awareness of what coaching is. We just started discussing what coaching is because, like, when you start, everybody say coaching, oh, football coach. But coaching is not like that. As you said, it's something that is more powerful than that. So the awareness is important. We've just been, as part of this launch, we went to Jimpa. We had an awareness session with the business school. And since last year, we've been training some of them, taking them through coaching. And their testimony was amazing. We went to Heritage Christian University and we are doing the campus tours. We are doing the corporate tours. It is having the platform enables us also to tap into the Federation's resources and the network, which enables the recognition and the legitimacy of the practice within the country. And so this is actually very, very important for us. And we would need the support of which you're giving us, thank you so much, and the others who are giving us, we need to be able to go into the corporations, to the leadership, to the policy makers, to be able to explain and let people understand the role of coaching.
Okay.
You see that, if you like, there are three types of learning, okay? There is fact-based learning, There is fear-based learning, and there is insight-based learning. And most of our educational system and the two arms he talked about, training and mentoring, are either fact-based or fear-based. Coaching is insight-based.
Wow.
And what that means is that coaching enables you to disrupt your beliefs, your values, your perspectives that may be keeping you at a level that you felt, this is all I can do. So sometimes you need that disruption and to give you the aha moments in your life and say, oh, I didn't think I could do that. But it's because you are in your world. You have your story in your own head. But the coaching comes as an external disruptor into your world and exposes you and helps you to have insight that, like you say in the account, I see a foot to... But we don't want you to wait for sorry. we want the coach to be deliberate and intentional disruption, which is positive.
Is this... Does this pertain to individuals or can you also do this for companies and businesses?
Coaching comes in twofold. Even if it's for companies, you penetrate through individual. So, for instance, if company A, say CTFM says, okay, we want to have an agreement with the chapter and look at how best our leaders or supervisors could receive some coaching. That is the entry.
Okay.
Then we have one-on-one coaching.
Okay.
Then we have team coaching. So for instance, if Bernard, Sky, a couple of the staff receive individual coaching, because something is happening individually, when we pull you into team coaching, your life, something is turning around, his life, something is turning around, automatically something begins to emerge when you start team coaching.
I see.
So if you look at the statistics globally, it's incredible. There is no intervention as that can give you almost 800% ROI.
Return on investment.
Yes, there is no individual performance and growth, 70%.
Wonderful.
Teams, 50%. And the benefits organization, 48%. Where would you
this
get
is
such
proven across the world?
Across the world. And these are surveys that are done in connection with PricewaterhouseCoopers, McKinsey and Co.
Okay, so what's happening this weekend? When is it happening? Tell us the details.
Right, so this weekend we are officially outdooring the ICF Ghana chapter.
Wonderful.
We have been accredited by the international body. So we are having this event where we're inviting the corporate world and, and everybody to the Ecobank Ghana auditorium.
Okay.
And it's happening on Friday from 9 to about 12:30. And then we have we are grateful to have the regional director who covers Africa, Europe, and others to join us as a special speaker. We are also having the global chair of ICF International, the board chair globally, also as our guest of honor. And we have other speakers who are going to share about coaching and the coaching professionals' profession.
So is this like a in-person event or is it
virtual? It's an in-person event.
So is this something anybody can just attend or this is for you, the coaches? What's basically what's our role in all of this? Why are you telling us this? That we should come there or we should just listen to you?
It's one of the avenues to let Ghanaians
know that you are doing
finally
this.
You have a chapter.
So what can we do as a company if I want you to coach my team, my news team, or I have a group of young leaders I want you to coach? What do I do? What's my next step?
Basically contact the chapter.
How do I do that?
Just by calling our number or info@icfghanachapter.org.
info@icfghana.org. What's your phone number?
Put that out. The number is not up.
We'll put it out. Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page? LinkedIn?
Anything ICF Ghana chapter.
ICF Ghana chapter.
Yes. Just that. ICF.
You are the only ICF because you are ICF.
The moment you start typing ICF and you add Ghana,
it will come. So you are the certified coaches.
In Ghana.
Yes. How many are you in the country?
So far, per the statistics we have, about 38.
In your demographic, male, female?
Male, female. We have more female than males.
Wow. So, because people need to be sure of what this... Are there any rules around coaching? So, for example, who determines the fees? If somebody says, I want to coach me. Or what if somebody says... Are there rules around how to practice? Standards?
There are global standards.
Okay.
As to a fee.
Okay.
Globally.
All right.
There is an
is it per hour, per day, or per year?
To at least a maximum of 10 sessions.
This guy. It means you pay. But you're also a lawyer, so you know how these things work. once they start ticking the clock, you start ticking your own.
But Bernard, it's true. I mean, the number is important. I think it's our president, Kufo, who says Ghanaians know the price of everything.
It's actually Kujom Pieni.
Kujom Pieni. Not the value of whatever.
Not the cost of everything, but the price of nothing. The value of nothing.
So the value that coaching provides go way beyond whatever.
Are people actually patronizing coaches as we speak?
Of course. There are even companies who are building what we call coaching culture into their HR.
Wonderful.
That is the focus we want to support.
Is this your website?
Yes.
Okay.
To support organizations to be doing.
Let me just do this public service announcement. So the number to call is 0243-085932.
Mm-hmm.
0243-085932. If you're interested in what they're talking about, I believe you are interested. You should give them a call.
Mm.
But a quick one, do you have a difference between people who say they are life coaches, people who say they are motivational speakers, and yours? You know,
that's a very important.
The umbrella profession is life coaching.
Okay. Life coaching.
That is the umbrella.
Life coaching.
Then out of that, when you come out of school, you begin to build your niche. So like you said, Sami is leadership coach. I'm into transformational coaching. So I do leadership. I do a few things in there. By virtue of maybe the knowledge and capital know-how I have, I can speak to people and they get motivated. That is not coaching. Because coaching, your caveat is questioning. It's like you said, what are the some bylaws? Confidential. The moment I'm done coaching you, Bernard, your files, everything should be shredded.
Wow.
Your
audio. Don't tell people that I coach
no,
Bernard.
No. Until Bernard declare me as his coach. I cannot say anywhere.
Okay.
Because it's a confidential life
Wonderful.
Pursuit, and the results are profound. Bernard.
So call 0243-085932. Go on to ICF Ghana chapter. And I think it's a great thing they're doing. A lot of these guys speak on our Effective Living series. So quite a number of them are known personally to me. Doris Ahinati and all those people are part of this network. Samuel Ayim is a leadership coach, a member of the board. He was on Effective Living series this year. And Skofre Nanaya Oyaboa is the president of the board of directors for the chapter. They are opening the chapter this weekend at an event that will give Ghana the impetus to benefit from this growing industry. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the program.
You're humble.
Thank you so much.
Well, we learn something every day. Fact-based, fear-based, insight-based. I prefer the third. Training, mentoring, coaching. Coaching's at the base. Wonderful stuff. Later on, we'll be speaking to our friends from Iken Autotech. Sky, the show has been so packed, I couldn't even do bedded education.
I know, right?
And yeah. I'll do them shortly. Yeah, but before that, the Morningstar International School, the Morningstar International High School, wishes to announce that enrollment for the 2024-2025 academic year is in progress. Programs are the Cambridge Year 7, 8, 9, Lower Secondary, IGCSE, A-Level WASI. Enrollment forms may be accessed from the school's website, mostarschool.edu.gh, or collected from the high school or basic school campus. Examination is 25th May. That's next Saturday.
That
not the one coming, the next one. Yes. So venue, the Morningstar School Cantonment and the Morningstar International Dodowa. So if you want to be part of the Morningstar International High School, call 0243-758-795. That's 0243-758-795 or 0303-975-628. If you're dreaming of a perfect sofa to upgrade this year, your dream sofa is now a reality with latex foam, introducing our sensational V sofa range where comfort meets style at prices too good to beat. Hop onto any latex foam showroom nationwide to dive into a world of colors and choices, from the sleek L-shaped sofa, that's the V sofa, at just 3,100 CDs, to the complete V sofa set for an unbeatable 6,500. Hurry, your perfect sofa awaits you. Latex foam, your partner for life. And Malta Guinness has a new beautiful can. More tasty goodness for you. The same authentic refreshment enriched with immune-boosting B vitamins. Grab an ice cold Malta Guinness in our new JJ can and enjoy a world of good. Always check for our Made in Ghana logo. And Eden Heights is a well-planned and secure gated community with access to an ultra-modern sports complex, Olympic-sized swimming pool, football court, basketball, athletics gym, and other facilities. We have 2, 3, and 4-bedroom apartments and penthouses with the highest grade of finishing for retail, for rental and sale. Eden Heights is delicately styled for you and for your comfort and relaxation. Call 0501-531-444 or 0501-531-445. Go to edenheights.com.gh for more details. Eden Heights, the height of modern living.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
Reality checking on it. 12 minutes to 10. If you are finding new ways of selling your house, land, building materials and accessories, or finishing your new home or dream home, then be at the Graphic Greater Real Estate Experience at Accra Mall from the 6th to the 8th of June, where all these solutions are brought together. You can reach the Graphic Greater Real Estate Experience on 0242-202-447 or 0548-019-572. Limited space available. Grab to be there. If you're a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, look no further than the Ghana Grows Program, brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with the Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Now, Ghana Grows ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. Whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, this program equips you with the skills to thrive. Gain access to career guidance, counseling and essential skills training. Join us and contribute to Ghana's growth through careers in agric and AT vet. Call 0308-255-775. Buy Diamond Cement, the highest quality cement on the Ghanaian market. If you're looking for regular cement, get the 32.5R. If you want a high upgrade, get 42.5R. You deserve the best. Make Diamond your number one choice for all your building needs. Please buy Diamond Cement directly from the company. Don't go through a middleman. We are in Aflao, Takoradi, and Bwipe. Our outlets are everywhere. Call 0202-021-175. Diamond Cement, still as hard as a diamond. Let's talk about how to redesign or facelift your vehicle, or as we say in Ghanaian parlance, how to pimp your ride.
Exactly.
We're also talking about training. My guest is the CEO of Icon Auto Tech, a 360-degree auto solution garage located in Temakomi 25 Kings Avenue behind MF's Estate. Isaac Nate is an engineer trained in Ghana, Japan, and other parts of the world. He's here talking about the program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm very fine, sir.
So what are you? You are a vehicle engineer? What's
yes, automobile engineer.
Automobile engineer. Yes. Trained in Japan, trained in Ghana, trained in
Australia, Bahrain.
Everywhere?
Yes.
Amazing. And what are your specialties in terms of cars?
Okay, so we do mechanical repair, brake system, oil service. We do pimping and remodification.
Pimping and remodification.
Yeah, we do upgrades. We do training.
Mm-hmm.
We also do ACs.
Wow.
So it's a 360 workshop.
When you talk of redesigning, pimping and facelift, what do you mean?
Okay, so let's say you have a 1960 car and then you want to do body repairs on it. We don't call it body repair. We say redesigning, in a sense that we have to put things that does not exist on your car. What do I mean by that? You know, sometimes if you bring let's say a Honda, and then we want to redesign it, by the time we finish, the car will not look like a Honda.
Okay.
Exactly. Some people don't even know. We finish the car, they come, they don't even see their car. Sometimes we show them. Yes. So it's totally different from facelifting. Facelifting, if I do facelifting, means that your car is, let's say, Toyota Lancer 2012. I can do Toyota Lancer 2022.
Wow. All
right. From the same car.
That's the facelift.
But that's the facelift. And we also do bullion vans and bulletproof vehicles. Also, yes. So,
what are some of the equipment you use to carry out these jobs? What do you tell me how you do it?
Some of these vehicles, you don't just cut anywhere of your vehicle. Okay, the manufacturer, have part of the vehicle that you need to cut. We don't use chisel and hammer to cut this thing. So we have pneumatic tools, saws, and pneumatic tools to cut them. And then after cutting, you need to do some welding. We don't do oxyacetylene welding. That's the gas welding that people say.
Yeah,
we do what we call the spot welding and then the plug welding with the MIG machines. Okay, we also have aluminum welding machines. So it's not all about welding, it's about welding the right way.
Yes. Can you guarantee that when this pimping or facelift is done, the vehicle will still function well?
Exactly. There are instances where people go do something somewhere, and then they don't consider the weight and the aerodynamics of the vehicle. They drive the vehicle breaks into two.
Mm.
Yes, and they bring it to our
So that's quite disastrous.
Yes, I have a car outside, parked outside. It's been pimped. You know, it's a Dodge Challenger, which have been remodified, and it's looking nice, actually.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's talk about your training programs. What type of training do you offer, and what durations are we talking about?
Okay, so we offer training for mechanical, electrical, AC, but we intensify body and paint.
Okay.
Why? Because we notice that even our technical schools, they concentrate mainly on mechanical and electrical, what have you. In our universities, I don't even think we have body and paint technical guys in there. So based on experience, and I've been to some part of the world, and I noticed that the high demand for body and paint technicians is very high, that we need to train people to take over, because vehicles form about 75% of our the body forms about 75% of vehicles, but we are shifting all our technicians to mechanical and electrical and mechanical and electrical, but we are leaving the body.
So you're training people in body works?
Yes, body works, body design, body repairs and spraying, redesigning.
So you're a training school apart from being a company that does vehicle upgrade. You do training?
We do training, but our training is about 80% practical.
Intensive practical training?
Yes, intensive
practical. How long training. Did the training take me?
Okay.
Depending on my qualification. So let's talk about qualification.
Exactly. Level. So the level should be, the minimum should be a basic education. You should be able to read and write. If you cannot read
and
write.
Oh, that's all?
Yes.
So basic education, you can read and write?
You can read and write.
That's all?
Some of the things are calculations.
Yes.
Okay. If you cannot read and write, we can't train you.
Okay.
But we have people, we have guys from Hope Polytechnics and then Tematech who comes in. Some of them take about just 1 year to do that. And then you also have the opportunity that after that, we can employ you. Okay. And then the last thing is that we, because of my travel experience, we had an opportunity to have some partnership with some companies outside the country, Australia and New Zealand. So we train you, you work for a while, then we give you out to these companies. We find you a job in Australia or New Zealand. So far we have about 12 guys who are in Australia and New Zealand working now.
So you pick up people who have basic education. You train them intense or other levels of training.
Yes.
So they could have degree,
whatever.
And you train them in what specific things? Body works?
Body repairs, spraying, mechanical, electrical, and AC. But we intensify the body and pain because the high demand in all over the world. You can Google it.
So when you do this training,
they call them panel beaters.
They call them panel beaters.
Yes.
You have links with international institutions where these people can go and work.
Oh yeah, we have about 12 to 15 guys out there already.
So if somebody listening wants to sign up for the training, how do they get in touch?
Yes, they can call an AMS and then pick a form, come to them with the fee, and then continue from there.
I was hoping you were going to mention the number. No, I know. They should find the number. We'll give you the number.
It's 020-878-7048-66-273310.
And these are numbers to call if you either want your car to have bodyworks done, or you want to be enrolled for the training.
Or even servicing, brake service, AC service, whatever.
020-878-7048 or 0266-273-310. Now, where is your institution located?
We are located behind the MF Estate, Com 25, Kings Avenue.
Okay.
Yes.
MF Estate?
Yes.
Behind 25?
Yes, 25.
I see.
Kings Avenue. We are in between Ike City and Big Bottles.
Ike City and what?
Big Bottles. Oh. Big Bottles Spa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know that area.
Yeah.
So we are talking to Isaac Nate, an engineer, CEO of Icon Auto Tech, a 360 auto solution garage, who do oil and brake suspension service, auto body repairs and spraying. They call it smash repairs.
Smash repairs.
Scan stroke diagnosis and repairs.
Exactly.
Air condition installation and repairs. Yeah. Upholstery and interior design.
Yeah.
Technical training. Do you do this thing? People buy cars from right, what do you call it?
Right
left-hand drive, left-hand
No,
you don't do that.
We don't. We started before. We're having issues with
it's complicated.
It's the part itself, you know, because you need to change from the evaporator, the dashboard,
everything. Has to
everything.
Change. So it's not an advisable.
If you want
thing.
To do that, then they have to cut. So there are instances where people bring their vehicle, they cut the dashboard, apply filler on it. With a heat system here, it will crack.
It will crack. So it's not the best.
It's not the best.
Just buy a right-hand drive for right-hand drive market.
That's it.
Wow. I'm happy when you say there are things you do and things you can't do. Some people say bring it, we'll do it, and
those no, we don't do that.
I see. So if I bring my car and you, how do you know that? How do you know the problem? Well, my problem mechanics is that when you take a car, they do guesswork.
Okay.
How do you diagnose my problem?
We have all the diagnosis tools. You know, car is just like a vehicle. It's just like human beings. Okay. If you go to the hospital and you tell the doctor your problem, they need to make you do some lab tests and stuff. Sometimes based on experience, the doctor can prescribe some medicines, but if it's beyond a certain limit, they do medical blood test for you or some test for you. That's what we do. We have the diagnosis tools to scan the vehicle. We call it troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. We scan the car, then the report will come out. Based on the report, we'll do what we call coding. We'll do what we call interpretation of the code, and then we can now proceed with the repair. But sometimes we involve you, the customer, in our diagnosis because you understand the car better.
Do you have any specialties for cars, or you do all cars?
Okay, so I'm coming from, my background is Toyota and Lexus, so we have that part, and then we have the German cars.
Porsche, so Toyota, BMW, Lexus, and then German cars.
And the German cars, and then we have a part for the Kia, and Korea. Then the Honda, the Korea cars.
So those are the three?
Yeah, those are the three.
Mm. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming.
All right, sir.
We've been speaking to Isaac Nate, Engineer Nate.
That's right.
He's a big man. Today is the birthday of many people. Let me just run through. Happy birthday to Eunice Fusu, Ministry of Transport. Message, we couldn't ask for a better mommy. We love and cherish you from your husband and children.
Okay.
A lot of messages on birthday this morning. Please wish my very good friend Ajua Buama Boating a happy 50th, coming from Kojo Pumpuni Asante. I wish her the infinity grace and mercy of the Lord upon her life. So that's to Ajua Buama Boating. You're 50 years old today. Happy birthday to Opinion Kwame Wadie. You are 70 years old. From Nana Uredu Wadie, the first Kwewu Nkwetia Nkoswahini, and the entire Yebu Wadie family of Kofredia and the Kwewu Nkwetia. Happy birthday to Bill Clinton. May the year be filled with purpose and fulfillment. From Franklin of HDL Global Forwarding, Eldrain Ian, and Jesse Owen of Bishop Barre School. Happy birthday to my queen Belinda Ajua Ahuofe Osibin. Welcome to the fourth floor with love from Jedidiah, Josiah Lady Joy, and Daddy Bismarck Osibin. Kindly wish my wife Joyce Afutu, who turns 60 years today, happy birthday. The entire family acknowledge your amazing love and care for us. God continue to bless and grant you good health. From Kwame Afutu, husband and children, Eto Afutu Esquire, and Dr. Ayam Afutu and Eli Afutu. I pray for higher heights and blessings to you, my brother. MOG Music to the world, from your manager, God's own crew, and team MOG Worldwide. To MOG, more greetings. Happy birthday to Reverend Paul Ochebuating, head pastor, Eastern Region Area B and Royal House Chapel, Kofredo Assembly. Love from your lovely wife and your children, entire leadership of the church, and also from the Ochebuating family in Kofredo, to Reverend Paul Ochebuating. Happy birthday to my son. He's 10 years old today. His name is Terence Johnson, class 5 people of Roman Rees School. This is to wish him God's continuous blessing as he turns this new age. From his dad, David, and his mom, Georgette, and the entire family in London, US, and Canada. So that's to you, Terence, from your father, David Johnson. Oh, wow. So many birthdays, huh? All right, that's all we have time for on a very, very busy morning. We've been talking about traffic. I hope you don't live in that area.
No, I live at Westland.
Wonderful. So, do you used to live in that area in the past?
No,
you
never lived there? I've lived around Obujo.
Okay, so you've never been in that kind of trouble.
No.
Good for you.